participate in a Don and Mike Show contest?
How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Let's get retarded in here.
Everybody, yeah. Everybody, yeah. Get into it. Yeah. Get stoked. Get retarded. Get retarded. Yeah.
The show, and so often he just doesn't have time to be in the area, but this was one of the great times that Mick Foley was actually in the area and could be in studio for Don and Mike. It's Mick Foley in studio on the best of Don and Mike.
Here he is back. We're so glad to see you in person, Mick, as opposed to on the phone.
Yeah, I'm so glad to see me that you tore me apart while I was sitting in the green room.
Yeah, you hear what Don called your book a girly man book?
Called it a girly book.
I read it. Okay. I read the book, yeah. And I stand by that.
And I would have read it if I was able to read, but I cannot read.
It is sensitive.
It is sensitive.
It has a side of you that, and I wanted to ask you, how much of that book did you just make up, and how much did you draw from your life? I hope your life wasn't...
My life wasn't quite that bad, and I never did come in from a first date to see my dad exercising naked in the living room. But, you know what it is? I got into that zone, that sensitive zone, Don, where I imagined. It was like being a wrestler again, getting into character. So when I sat down, I was that sensitive 17-year-old kid.
What is the name of your book again?
Cheatham Brown.
And it's out now.
It is out now, and it's out now. It was released a couple days ago, and I'll be signing it tonight. I'm going to go for the plug. Right,
go ahead.
I'm going for.
Go for it.
Do it. Do it. Sabotage my writing nationwide. I might as well try to get some wrestling fans out there.
Sure.
All right. It's a sensitive damn book, but if you come out there, I'll tell stories about Al Snow. I'll tell inappropriate stories about this.
Al Snow again. Here we go.
Olsen's books at 7 o'clock, and it is. Now that this is a novel, I can't just show up and sign books. Like it's a reading and a conversation.
So you're gonna read out of the book?
No, I don't sit there and read. That's what other writers do. I will explain like how story. Like for example. The part of the book where Andy's having a tough time and he asks his dad for advice, right?
Uh-huh.
His dad comes forth with probably the oddest romantic advice ever given.
I would agree.
Okay.
I would agree.
And that came directly from the mouth of one of my cohorts back in 1992, and I was thinking, this is the grossest thing I've ever heard.
Did it come from a wrestler?
Exactly. Yeah. Worst thing I've ever heard. Not that I haven't utilized that information many times, but, but I thought, you know what, this is terrible, but I'm going to use it somewhere. So I never thought it'd be a novel 11 years later, but a lot of it is inspired by the rather
weird... I would say read the book. I'm not saying... Don't read the book. I read it, as a matter of fact, it was on the beach. Mm-hmm. I read the book in a day.
Yeah.
In one day. And it's not, and I'm not saying it's because the writing is big.
Well, you're a fast reader. Yeah. Some of us struggle with it.
Mick, it is a page turner.
It is a page turner.
It is a page turner.
You know what? You guys know what buttons to push. You were doing this to me last time. So now I'm on these important literary shows, and they're going, it's very violent, isn't it? And I'm saying, well, it's not that violent. It's a, you know, it
has glorify, violent parts.
It doesn't glorify the violence. And now I'm on your show. I'm like, no. Are ripped off. The eyeballs are crushed.
I'll give you the highest compliment.
Damn you, Don Geronimo.
I would find parts of the book so funny.
Yeah.
That I would say to my wife, when we're sitting on the beach, I swear to God, I would say to my wife, I just want to read you two paragraphs out of this book. And they'd be totally out of context.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm trying to explain to her, you know, this kid's life and what he's going through. And I would just, like, take one or two paragraphs and just read them to her, and I'd be laughing, seriously laughing. And she'd go, I guess I have to read more to understand why you're laughing. But I think it's a guy thing. I think as much as I'm saying it's a sensitive, girly book,
yeah.
It's a guy book.
You know, I think for people who like their sensitive, girly books, you know, laced with graphic violence, this is kind of the book they've been looking for. This way, someone can get the sensitive stuff in, but if someone calls them on it, say, hey, wait. Look at this. Eyeball crushed against the guy.
Yeah, there is a lot of that.
When is the movie coming out? That's what I want to know.
No, I'm having discussions.
There you go.
In a couple of weeks.
Now,
it's not exactly a Will Smith 4th of July blockbuster, but I think one of these strange, like, Billy Bob Thornton types could probably do a nice job with it.
You know, I was looking at an interview.
Glover. He would be who's that weird guy that
Crispin Glover was Willard. He was Willard, and he's been weird and everything else.
For some reason, that's not who I was thinking of. That's not who I had in mind to play the dad when I was writing it.
Oh, well, no. Well, I was thinking more like of the son. I was not thinking with...
All I know is I don't want to interfere with some kind of producer. You know, maybe Spielberg will grab it. But even... I don't care who it is. First of all, I will say to him, look, I'm invoking the no Edward Furlong clause. You know, I can't have some little punk SOB, you know, ruining my sensitive story.
Lisa just told us before you came in, you were on the Today Show.
Yeah.
And I know people are probably going to bring this up, so I wanted to jump right in front.
You talk about my jacket and tie, aren't you?
Well, no, I'm not. See, I was not going to mention your Looney Tunes tie. I was going to ask you, what happened to your house down in Florida?
Oh, man, what a bummer. Yeah, this is a true story. I didn't say this on the Today Show. I found out. I'm glad I didn't know. I thought it would have been,
a little sales
air thing, on national TV. The truth is, I'm at Knopf Offices. That's my publisher.
Right.
And I check my messages. I get this urgent call from WWE. It's Lynn Brent, you know, who's went to Talent Relations. And she said, please call right away. It's very important. And so my publisher says, what do you think they want? And I said, I think they're going to ask me in a main event in SummerSlam. Because when I was on recently, you know, we did some good stuff. Ratings went up a little bit.
I saw you. You're good on that.
Yeah, it was pretty good stuff, I thought. And she said, can you do it? I said, man, I don't know. I'm 25-city book tour. Like, it's not like you can just jump to the gym when you're... Not that I ever jumped into the gym anyway.
Yeah, but you got
to
get ready for it. Right?
Yeah, I would have to get ready for it. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I call up, and she says, hello, Cactus. This woman still calls me Cactus.
Cactus Jack, right.
Cactus Jack. And I said, yeah, I'm waiting for, like, the big offer. And she says, I don't know how to tell you this, but... Your house.
I mean, I don't mean to laugh. Wow. It's not funny.
No, it was like, what a downer, you know. Yeah. And fortunately, it's not the house I was living in. The house is up for sale, which I'm sure the insurance agents are going to like and question me about. So,
they
love the house, but it was on the market.
And it burned down mysteriously while you're out of town on your book tour.
As somebody who just sold his house, I can relate to that a little bit, you know.
But
it wasn't on the market for a long time, was it, Mick?
It was. No, we had a renter in there for a little while.
Okay, all right.
I think he was in there. But the thing was, this is the house my kids grew up in. You know, this is the house where I wrote "Have a Nice Day," like all the Christmas mornings and all that stuff.
Yeah.
We conceived one of our children in that house. You know, so it's got some nice memories in it. It's kind of a...
Any details as to what caused the fire or anything like that?
No, I no one knows. You know,
wow,
the high attic fire.
So. Well, it sucks. It sucks.
Yeah.
You mentioned WWE, and I wanted to ask you before we get to your calls. I mentioned again, the book Tiedem Brown tonight here in DC, Olson's Books in Arlington, Wilson Boulevard at 7 o'clock. You go to mickfoley.com. Have you seen the Brian Gumbel show this month on HBO?
I did not. I was trying to check it out. I was on the road and I didn't get HBO.
Okay, well, they got Rowdy Piper on.
Yes.
And he's talking about all the blow that he did when he was in the WWE, at that time WWF. And they got Vince on.
Right.
And Vince is doing the interview and he slaps the papers out of the guy's hands.
Vince threw a little tantrum, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a mini tantrum. And they were talking about how many wrestlers from that era are dead now.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Man, you know, it deserves to be analyzed in more detail than like 13 minutes on Real Sports.
It's, right.
I mean, the shame of it is that when you hear it now, it's not that shocking. You know, like 5 years ago, it's like, someone died. I mean, you'd be heartbroken. And now it's like, you know, you're used to it. And that's a very hard thing to say. But it's like, man, you're kind of used to it. And you don't know why. I think part of it is that part of it's luck. You know, I mean, they probably have guys in there who've died from car accidents and heart attacks and things like that. there is a problem with pills in wrestling. And part of the reason is because guys are in a lot of pain. But I still said in my last book, I'm like, you can't tell me that we can send guys, you know, into outer space, that we have computers that can do anything, and they can't have some kind of national database that prevents guys from having pill doctors in different cities. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think anyone ever set out and said, hey, I'm going to get hooked on, you know, Vicodin.
Right.
But the truth is, you know, they make this thing, it doesn't just take away the pain, but it makes you feel pretty damn good, you know.
Right.
And I think guys start taking pain medicine because they need it, and then they stay on it because they like it, and unfortunately, you have doctors out there willing to write prescriptions because they want to be able to say that they're buddies with the wrestlers. And there's much more to it. Roddy Piper refers to it as a sickness. And, you know, there's the idea that these guys are out there and they're almost like superheroes. Right. But in reality, they're just regular guys, mm-hmm. you know. And then as much as they decry the wrestling business and talk about how hard it is, once they're out of the business, I mean, they're desperately trying to get back in.
Yeah. And that was the point with this guy, that he got back into it.
Right.
And he said, I can't believe I'm getting back into it, but he had nothing else to do.
I mean, why? But he was an actor. He was a talented guy. I mean, I can't believe there's nothing else that Roddy Piper can do.
Well, how is your relationship with Vince? Because I saw, like I mentioned, the guy that was doing this, I think it was Armin Kathir,
yeah.
who was doing the interview.
Right.
And he was asking, you know, he's got a way of asking questions in that very condescending...
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm better than you tone, mm-hmm. whether it was a legitimate question or not. And Vince just goes like this to the paper, smacks it out of his hand.
You know,
answering that.
Now, is that shtick? Because he was Vince did the same thing with Costas, with right. Bob Costas, when he you know had
oh the XFL
a, when he had kind of a meltdown. Is that, you know, when you hear about that once, it's one thing. When you hear about it twice, you go, is this?
Well, this is the, you know, my feeling on Vince. This is in print too, and not the book that I want you to get, because that's in paperback, and I don't make much jack off the paperback. So if you're going to pick up a Foley book, pick up Tietam Brown the novel.
Yes, you notice like in the middle of the conversation, he just gracefully, you know, just gracefully.
But you know what? If someone, I understand, not everybody's there because they're novel fans. So not only do I gear the talk basically to wrestling fans, but I sign, you know, at least one other item, which is usually a book or.
Mick, don't worry. You're going to have a giant crowd tonight, and you're going to sell every goddamn book you have there tonight. I
promise.
This
is what I said about Vince in Foley is Good. I said, you know, 7-8 years ago, I would have come on this show and I'd be like, Don, it's have a nice day. And that's what we did, you know.
Right.
And then we'd wonder why people didn't respect us. It's because we walked around almost like, you know, we were playing them for idiots, you know. We were really, questioning their intelligence or insulting their intelligence by coming on and being in character, expecting people to accept the character. So I said, it's ironic that the same guy, Vince McMahon, who by coming out and saying, look, this is sports entertainment, these guys are entertainers, they're great athletes, but they are putting on a show for you. By doing that, he allowed guys like me not only to write Have a Nice Day and Foley's Good, but to come on here and kind of hang out and play along and even poke fun at what we do. The ironic thing is that Vince can't do it. Like, when the red light goes on, he becomes an idiot. And he's like, you know what? I said, as a shareholder in the company, that bothers me because, you know, you see this guy, you want to invest money with that guy?
Right.
And the truth is, backstage, Vince is, he's a little out there, you know, don't get me
right,
wrong.
Right.
But he is a good guy that I've never seen him yell at anybody. He gets upset, you know,
right.
He has his moments. And I've yelled at him, like, you know, in rooms and we've had some pretty big arguments, but I like him, and he's a good guy. And then he gets on the thing, and it's like, man, and I think Armin Katayan knew which buttons to push.
Right.
Because what I'm told, and this is the problem with like soundbite journalism, is that he kept asking him the same question. And kept asking him. And
right.
It's like, you know what you're dealing with Vince, and you know he's going to get upset.
You know, when you mention that about the way you guys used to have to play it, I think back to the interviews we've done on this show, and I think specifically to, I think, The Undertaker that we had on this show, who came in and was in character
yeah.
for the entire interview, and then somewhere along the line that changed, and you probably remember that too,
yeah,
where
right.
we had...
He dropped out of it.
And it started being a lot more fun because guys could come out and, you know, and hang out, but that's interesting that you mentioned that.
It's horrible. I'd go on like the local weather, you know, do the local weather. It'll be a chilly 52 degrees out there, Mommy!
Now, are you getting any crap from any of your macho friends for having written Tietam Brown?
You know what? as soon as one of those macho friends becomes best known for having a front tooth stuck up their nose, they have some room to talk. This is not what I think. You know, wrestling fans, they've been very good about it, you know, and not all of them are going to run out and buy the book, you know, and I was gearing, you know, I'm thinking, you know, realistically, people who bought the other books will like this book. I don't think just because, you know, Joey likes, you know, likes The Undertaker, he's going to run out and buy, you know, buy the Mick Foley novel. And if Joey's under 15, by no means should he buy the Mick Foley novel. But I think wrestling fans will accept and even like the fact that I write books, because then they can go, oh, no, the wrestlers aren't going as far. There's one guy who wrote a novel. I think they can accept that I'll go on the Today Show. The jacket and tie. And could you tell I was
a Looney Tune tie.
Could you tell I was crushed that it was Lauer and not Couric?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think I was more upset about that than the damn fire. You know? But
it's probably Lauer that want, you know, usually the way those guys, the way they pick the ones they want to do.
That's, well, that's, you know what? They had this, like, breakthrough in the John Benet Ramsey case. It was supposed to be Katie, and then I got, you know, the tragic news that it was Matt.
Right.
But Matt was actually cool. I got this feeling that they were really talking to me as an author and not, you know, not as an oddity. But I think where the wrestling fans draw the line is the moment I show up with false teeth or a new ear, that's the moment right. They jump ship, you know. Yeah.
You got to be happy with the ink you're getting on this book. I mean, I've read a lot of very, very good stuff about the book.
Yeah, I just assumed that you guys being my buddy and everything, that this would be one of those positive places.
This is a positive review. I'm telling you, it just is kind of a girly book. I read it, though. What does it say about me?
I read it. And here, look, as long as you're here, what percentage of your listening audience is women?
About 40%.
40% women will like this book.
And you just said it yourself. And guys, and I like it too. And you're right. It's very violent.
Yes.
But at the same time, it has a lot of sentimental stuff. And I think you have an underlying message throughout the book.
There is underlying messages.
And I dug the ending. Yeah. I really dug the ending of the book. I mean, that's
I was reading about an honest compliment. I was reading about the fact that you're a Civil War buff, and it's and around here, I've got so many personal friends of mine that are nuts over the Civil War. And I mean, you're not, obviously, you've never done the reenacting of that. I know guys like this, but there are guys that really go crazy about that, and they said that you're kind of into it. You'd visit battlefields and things like that.
But I just think it's weird for some grown men to, like, dress up in costumes and play a role.
I know these guys, and most of them are not, you know, it's really not the dressing up, but it's also just this incredible knowledge of the history of it and the Civil War, and it's a little strange.
Yeah, apparently, like, they, like, kind of draw straws to find out who gets shot. This is like the guys who reenact get killed right away. They have to lay down the whole time.
Okay, Tatum Brown is the book.
Macho.
Badass stuff.
Good book. Listen, it's a goddamn compliment, Mick. Your other books were well written.
Thank you.
They were about wrestling. This book is equally well written. It just shows another side of you.
Yes, the faggy side.
I like the book, and the reason they treat you with reverence like on the Today Show is they know that you're not a dumb guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been an uphill battle. It's been an uphill battle, but it helps. You know, a guy like The Rock will be on these shows, and he sounds pretty intelligent. Granted, we have guys like, you know, Al Snow and Test.
Al Snow! No! All right, now listen, before you take your calls, because you have to get out of here, and we want to get as many calls as possible, what photo do you have for us?
And it's the first time I'm showing this. I've told a couple people this story, but I never had the visual evidence. The deal is, my publisher within that world, and for people who know, and I wasn't one of them because I'd never even heard of Knopf, but they're very prestigious. They've had 21 Nobel Prize winners in their stable, okay?
Right, okay.
So that when I showed up, it was like, it was kind of a weird thing, you know, right, to have this wrestler guy in the Knopf Hall. So I got there. Of course, all the guys in the mailroom knew who I was. Mick. So they wanted to have their picture taken with me. I came back a couple months later. The guys say, you want to see that picture? So I go to the mailroom, and there's two photographs on the wall, okay?
Here we go.
Exhibit one, two photographs. Look at exhibit one. It's clearly me,
right?
The mailroom guys.
Right. You and a couple of brothers.
Right. The second photograph to be revealed, we'll call it exhibit B. Right next to each other.
It's Mick with the guys, and next to, and right next to it in the publishing place is Clinton with the same guys. So it's like, the day after or the day before.
I just saw that and thought it was priceless.
That is pretty funny.
Here's the company you're traveling in now.
So you're on the same wall As Clinton.
Yeah, yeah. And, so, and it was cool. When I was over in the UK, we had the same publisher, you know. Senator Clinton was over there doing the same bookstore I did a couple days earlier. My publisher over in the UK is this very important, very beautiful woman. Like, I couldn't, you know, my wife isn't listening, so I can admit I never took my eyes. I couldn't take my eyes off. It was just mesmerizing, you know, probably late 40s, you know. And she had just left the Clinton party. And apparently when President Clinton asked her where she had to go, the answer was to have dinner with Mick Foley. So they struck up a little conversation, Clinton, of course, being the big reader. And all of a sudden, the next day, I am signing a book to President Clinton.
Oh, wow. Hey, that's freaking hilarious. Yeah.
So it's not obvious you sign a book for President Clinton and Harry Potter in the same day. So it worked out pretty good.
Walt, you're on the air with Mick Foley.
Yeah, Dynamite Radio guys.
Hey, go ahead.
Hey, I got two quick questions for Mick.
Okay.
I'm a big, huge fan from a long time. I was wondering if there was any way of getting a hold of one of those T-shirts that you wore at the Japanese death matches with Terry Funk.
Which T-shirts? Well, the Wanted Dead Cactus Jack?
No. I got that one. The other one with the Japanese sun behind your head.
Oh, the one that the Japanese interpreted as being disrespectful to the emperor?
That one. Yeah, that one.
That still looked cool. Like, hey, I'm posing against the sun, and all of a sudden there's a backlash. No, and the kind of ironic thing about that is when I was over in Japan, no one wanted it because it didn't have American writing, and when I came over to the States, everyone wanted it because it had Japanese writing.
Right.
Oh, wow.
But those are extinct, along with the whole Cactus versus OJ Special Referee Detective Mark Furman T-shirt.
Hello, Don and Mike. Charles, you're on with Mick Foley.
Mick, I've followed your career from the very beginning.
Thank you.
I was at your final match at WrestleMania 2000. You are the man.
Thank you.
I wanted to know, what's the big deal with you and Al, dude?
Oh, you know what, Al?
He's talking about Al Snow again?
My favorite subject when he's on the show.
He'll talk about Al Snow. I thought I was over this whole Al Snow thing.
No, I want to say, you brought him up like 30 seconds into your appearance today.
Did you guys see the thing at the Garden? Was that priceless or what? Al had no idea. It was kind of cool in that the guys who came out to honor me were not necessarily the biggest stars in the company, but they were like kind of like the guys who, you know, embodied the hardcore spirit. Guys like Tommy Dreamer and Spike Dudley and Al Snow and Bubba Ray, and then RVD's a, you know, real popular guy, but he was out there too. And so I had a chance to say, and this, he said, you know, we have like a little contest of what it is to see who can get the, you know, the better rank out. It's like a rank
Right.
So 18,000 people in Madison Square Garden, millions watching around the world. I was able to say it is indeed an honor to be out here in front of so many great performers and Al Snow.
Al Snow.
It's just a matter of, you know, hurting and other people bringing me a lot of pleasure.
Here's a guy who says he's a friend of yours named Mike. He's in California. Mike.
Dr. Mike, I've known Mick on and off since 88. I've done actually a little dentistry on him, and I just wanted to say how proud normal people are of him, because Mick is one of the world's great treasures. He was also in the feature article front page of USA Today. He's and not just intelligent, but he's ethical, role model, family. You know, he's all the things that really personify a great human being.
Dr. Mike, I appreciate that, but let's not kid ourselves. You are not considered normal even within the wrestling business. You are known as the wrestling dentist.
Let me say this, too, because I'm covering for the Examiner. One thing Mick has with this Michael Savage, and Don and Mike don't know this, we wrote an article in support of Don and Mike. It's in the Chronicle today under an open letter to Michael Savage. The only thing this guy has wrong with his teeth is one missing front tooth.
Now, Michael Savage has issues with his teeth. Thank you, doctor. So would that be a doctor you got your pills from?
No. I never got pills. He's a legitimate dentist who likes to travel the world taking wrestling photographs.
Oh, really? That's what he's into.
So, you know, he is the wrestling dentist, so let's not say that he's a normal guy. He's got a very legitimate, prosperous practice, but takes time off to travel the world taking photographs.
The wrestling dentist.
Brian, you're on the air with Mick. Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I have a question. How do you think about the new NWA Total Nonstop Action?
Man, you know what? I've heard a lot of good things about it, and I'm happy that guys have another chance to do their stuff. But I'll be honest, I haven't seen it. You know, I watch probably 2 hours of WWE programming a week, and that kind of fills my wrestling needs, you know.
But are you ever going to go back? I did watch when you were on, when you made your cameo.
Yeah.
I know you'll never go back and actually wrestle again.
Well, you know, I might. I don't know what I would have said had that phone call been about the main event in SummerSlam. Granted,
oh,
it was,
the girl called to tell you that your house had burned down.
Not the house burning down. But you know what? I didn't think I was going to get physically involved when I returned to be the referee. And then I sat and thought about it. I said, okay, let me see. I got the crap beaten out of me four times. I had my own trophy smashed over my head, which in the worst wrestling scenario actually split the back of my head open, gave me stitches, but didn't look like it even hit me.
Now, how old are your kids now?
My kids are now 11 and 9. I have two new ones.
That's
too.
An interesting thing. If you're in wrestling and you're going to get hurt, you want it to look like you got hurt,
yeah,
too,
I think
right?
Your wife really seriously, I mean not seriously, but not literally, going to kill you if you go back?
Yeah, I know.
Didn't you, like, make her a promise that you wouldn't do that anymore?
Yes. Okay. That's not the only promise I've broken.
One more call, and then Mick's got to go to his Sonny tonight. Adam, last person from Mick Foley.
Hey, man. Hey, Mick, how you doing?
How are you doing, Adam?
I'm actually going to be at the Philadelphia appearance next week. But
yeah,
I was
they
wondering,
booked me in a library. I'm like, you know,
in Philly?
I'm very supportive.
Hey, that's cool, but I was wondering.
Did Adam just cut me off?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, sorry about that, man.
Adam, just let Mick speak.
Sorry, yes. Kick my ass.
No.
Library.
I was going to say something stupid about how, even though I'm usually a big supporter of the library system,
mm-hmm.
This is not a book that you should take out of the library. So you kind of killed it for me there, pal.
All right, what do you want there, dum-dum?
All right, I was wondering what you thought about Terry Funk being the independent champ in Philly.
Is he the independent champ in Philly?
Yeah, he's working for Blue Meanie, your buddy of yours.
Now, he is a buddy of mine. Ricky
yeah.
Springfield, he's a buddy of mine.
Yep.
No
what do you think about
Ted
giving him another run?
You know what? That's great. I actually was hoping that the Funker was going to be at the hardcore ceremony in Madison Square Garden. I called him up about it. He said he'd be willing, and I don't know how that fell apart. But, you know, I don't want him to get hurt. He's an old SOB, but...
that is good news.
He's a tough one.
Adam,
well,
listen, I got a message for you.
Did you walk your ass for that?
Get out of here. What an awful final caller that is.
Yeah.
For the great Mick Foley. Go read this book. Really, I read it on vacation, I swear to God. And I really did enjoy it.
And you came back in touch with your feminine side.
I admit it. You wrote it, I read it.
Mick,
always great to see you.
Thank you.
Mick Foley, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks,
right.
Mick. Always a pleasure to have you here.
We'll see you later.
All right, get on out of here. You got to go sign your books. See you next time you're here.
All right.
Love that guy.
Yeah, great guy.
Love that guy.
And
really
wrestling
good.
Fans, you know, I didn't hear anybody closing the door on a return to the ring.
Mm-hmm. Listen, and who am I to say? God knows I've broken promises to my wife, but
not me.
He,
Rob,
don't you remember what started us on Mick?
Yeah,
like 5 years ago,
right.
Was that documentary?
Yeah,
that I thought was real.
Right,
you thought was fake.
Right,
where he eventually, because he was so beat up,
right.
Had to promise his wife he wasn't going to do it anymore.
Well, and we've learned a lot more about wrestling since then. I mean, the fact of the matter, and when they're talking about these guys and what they go through with painkillers, yeah, is it the, you know, is it entertainment? Yes. Is it real? No. The fact is these are guys that get very, very severely hurt all the time, and they're constantly in need of painkillers, surgery, and that type of stuff. And that's why one of the reasons he was, you know, deciding to give it up. I'm looking at a guy, I mean, don't you think he wants to get back into it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, I do. It's just, I remember that documentary with his kids.
Yeah. Well, that was because his kids were at that match, and he said he'd never do that again, you know?
Well, I interpreted that he would never do it again. I think he's been on the show and has said he would never, not that I don't want him to wrestle again.
No. Well, you know, I think really when you're doing all these cities and these book tours, eventually, you really want to kick somebody's ass.
I guess so. Well, it's a good faggy book. Tatum Brown. Hey, if I read it, you know it's got to be easy, right? We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Kick the hole with Caravari.
Sing something else.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. All the fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh.
No, stop.
Kitchen, bring food.
The Don and Mike Show.
If you have
haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Don's son Bart has grown up on the show, and one day Don gets a call from Bart, who's away at college at Clemson, and tells his dad that he wants to be on the college radio station at Clemson. And Don is having a hard time with that. He supports Bart, but he's kind of scared, and then the guys get to wondering, if they weren't doing radio, what would they be doing? It's the best of Don and Mike.
You're going to hear from my kid today. He calls from college. Now, you know, he wants to do whatever it is that he wants to do with his life, and he thinks he has the direction he wants to go in. And I'm not going to stop him from doing what he called and said. But he called and said that he was thinking about getting involved with the college radio station.
Okay.
And, wow. You know, one part of me is happy. I'm thinking, you know, well, sure, it's in the genes.
Sure.
But then there's another part of me thinking, I don't want, you know, not that he wants to do this.
Well, obviously he does if he's doing it. That's when I started, when I worked at my college station.
Yeah, I don't wish this on him, though, and I can't tell him that.
Right.
So I just had to say, oh, well, you know, okay, good luck. And he was saying, but Dad, I already know how to run the board. I already know how to use Cool Edit and all these other behind the scenes, these technical junk that we
right.
have. He said, I already know it. And then, you know, he gave me the argument that I couldn't refute. He said, plus, I got all the stuff you told me.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
Look out.
Then you should.
There you go. A chip off the old block.
Then you should know. So anyway, that's what he's
doing. You know, Jack Buck, Joe Buck.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Why not?
More like Rick Dees, Johnny Dees. You know, Rick Dees' son is a disc jockey. I wouldn't wish this on my son.
Bart Geronimo.
No, never. Never. The road that I had to go to get here today, I wouldn't wish that upon my son.
He might not have to travel that road.
Well, I don't know. I would think you would agree.
You did the School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah. Yeah. I still, even taking...
It's a crappy little business to come up through.
Taking out all that other stuff, I wouldn't wish it on him. I wouldn't wish it, because it's made me what I am today.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I mean that...
That's right. No.
In the less than flattering way. It has made me what I am today.
So you don't think this is him getting into this business is the key to happiness?
I said to him, I said, first off, how serious are you? And he said, I just want to go do an 80s show. I just want to go in, you get some credit for it, and I know how to run the board, and I just want to do an 80s show. And I said, well, that's great, and I support you, you know, in anything you choose, blah, 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 you did all that stuff. Then I'm just thinking about it, and I thought, well, but, you know, you're not really serious about this, are you? And he said, oh, I don't know, Dad. No, I'm not, but I was just thinking the whole time.
What's he majoring in?
Sports business. Sports business.
So, like, perhaps he could be an agent or something?
That route. He wants to be...
A GM for a team or something?
Yeah. I mean, he's a freshman. It'll change a million times between there and here. But one of the things that I did say to him, which I realized it sounded like a drama queen, I said to him, Bart, here's the thing. I wouldn't wish you the life that I've had on the radio, because it's great and it's what I love doing. But it has made me a tortured soul.
Do you think it's the business that's done that, or do you think you were a tortured soul?
Oh, no.
You found your calling.
Absolutely. That's it.
Well, see, that's what I think I am. I think I'm a tortured soul that found my calling in this business.
But anyway, he's...
You know, I think this business is so full of tortured souls.
It attracts them.
I mean, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
go to one of our conventions. Look at the wall-to-wall idiots.
Just sad.
Yeah, but the thing is, we've worked so hard to raise him to at least be, what's a milder word than tortured? I'd hate for my son to have a tortured soul. And
I don't think he's a tortured soul.
Well, if you think about it, think about the people who work in radio. Mm-hmm.
About him right now.
Who's not tortured? You know, let's look at the employee list right here, okay? Hey, who's my best buddy?
Rob Spiewak.
Right, okay, hello.
Tortured soul.
That's a minefield underneath that head.
Right.
Incidentally, that head,
yes.
That is what each of those Siamese babies' heads will look like.
No,
I heard this on the news today.
Yeah, there's some swelling.
That when, they split those two in half.
Right.
And now that they're split...
They wanted to just peel the brains apart, but that didn't work.
What they're going to do is they did it, and they said that they wouldn't ever have hair. Up there.
I've got it right now.
Yeah, but you have a giant, you have a bald spot big enough for
well, they
for,
can they can
for
like
two Egyptian babies.
Can't they inject hair up there or something like that? You know?
No, I believe what I heard was that they're grafting skin from other parts since they had to peel off all the layers of skin
to
separate them. That they had to graft something else, and apparently the growth of hair was not something that was a priority. It was
surviving.
Would you rather have them living or be bald at seven?
You can always have a wig.
You know, maybe that was what happened to me. Maybe I had a twin, and that's why I don't have hair up there.
You're admitting it now, Rob.
Happy Halloween.
You're admitting it, Rob.
Look at that great big head. You wouldn't think that the brain inside it was no bigger than an English walnut.
If my brother is listening, I'd love to meet him.
Your brother.
He's tortured. You're tortured. I'm tortured.
Yeah. You know. John Merrick.
perhaps not tortured. Demons. Demons speak. Only. Demons speak. Ladies and gentlemen, this Rush Limbaugh.
My demons have attacked me, ladies and gentlemen. I'll explain everything to you. All is not what it seems.
A troubled soul. A tortured soul.
I ask you again, do you think you are a tortured soul because of this business?
Or a troubled soul.
Do you think you're a troubled soul because of this business or that you were a troubled soul before?
Look, I've been through enough therapy to answer this. If that's because of my parents... That's why I am a troubled soul.
So it's because of your parents that you went into this business.
We all get into this business because we desperately seek love and approval.
And because it beats work. I mean, really,
amount of cabbage can relieve the torture.
But really, I think trouble. Yeah. It might be troubled. I would say troubled rather than tortured.
Getting on your college radio station does not mean that.
He might be doing
it because it's a fun thing for
him. I'm sure he's doing it as a goof.
Yeah.
You know,
when I went to college, that's all I wanted. I mean, I looked for it. First thing I did, first day that I was there, I went to the college radio station because that's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to do from when I was a little kid.
Well,
but he's just doing this on a lark, right?
Yeah, and it's
on a lark.
It's fun, and I'm fine with it, and I'm happy for him, and I just bring it up because I'm not tortured, and I'm not troubled either, but there has to be another word for why. Just unsettled.
Yeah,
that's what I'd say. My soul is rather unsettled.
And is it more unsettled because he's going to work for his college radio station?
Mike, if he gets into radio, that's the perfect storm. Really, my soul goes from being unsettled. You know,
neither you nor I recommend it to people. When people come up and they say they want to get into it, I said, no, you really.
Absolutely.
It's
not.
Like any other area of show business. Your odds of success are very small.
I'd much rather have my son to get into something like retail sales, say at GNC. And I have a big shout out to my man. My man. I went to the GNC in Reston today to get my EAS stuff. My man.
Was he cool with you today?
It was a different man this time. It was another old man at the GNC.
So you got the hard sell all over again?
No. I'll give this guy credit, because I slam GNC all the time. I walk in, I got the selection. He said, "Are you aware of?" And I said, "Yes, but no."
Yeah.
And he said, "Okay," because I knew he was going to start the whole gold card thing.
Right.
So I'm thinking, this is actually a pleasurable experience. I'm going to be able to come in today and report something pleasurable. And actually, not that it's not pleasurable, but the guy said something that just struck me the wrong way. And it happens to me a lot, and I get mad at people, and I don't verbalize it. But because I'm an unsettled soul. But I verbalized it to this guy. I came in, I had sweatpants on, and I had a sweatshirt that had a giant G on it. It said on the top, in big letters, Green Bay and Packers. I mean, I look like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
I look like one of those morons that goes...
But you like to wear that kind of stuff.
So, anyway, I'm standing there for a second, and he looks up and he says, "So, you a Packers fan?" Now... This is the kind of thing that people say all the time, and you know, most times I go, but today was the time the poor guy, he had done nothing good to do any of the GNC tricks on him.
How cruel were you to him?
I said, my response was, what do you think?
Oh, that's really, that's like fist fighting, man.
Then he said, "Hey, I'm sorry. I was just trying to make conversation."
Yeah, really?
That's what it's about. Yeah.
And then
the
rest of the transaction was silent.
Oh. See, the ultimate confrontation in that is you say, "You think?"
No.
As opposed to, "What do you think?" Wow, that's so bitter.
Well, hi. And listen, I'm,
that is so unsettled.
Having said all of that, I still consider myself to be very happy and very happy where I am right now in my life, even with all of this level of unsettledness, which is always, which I'm constantly masking, constantly. Masking.
Yeah. What's that like to be unsettled?
Mike, listen, I'm unsettled.
You can call yourself unsettled all day long. Okay. I wrote the book on unsettled, okay? No, okay. I'm captain of the unsettled. I should walk around with a cape that says you on it.
Excuse me for taking the first 10 minutes of the show.
Really? Let me just tell you something.
Excuse me for taking the first 10 minutes of the show once to say something that was really bothering me on an emotional level. I'm sorry. It's time for Mike's pity party.
Yeah.
As we do most every day at this time.
Of course. I know. I'm sorry. I know for years I've dominated the conversation here, but I will tell you that
on a battle of much it's what's said.
You know, honest to God, when you're just talking about unsettled, I feel quite settled and grounded today.
Good.
I feel things are somewhat right with the world today.
Well, good. Wow.
I feel pretty good today.
See, but here's the rub. He's not going to tell you why.
I can't.
See?
I cannot.
That's not fair.
But it is right. Totally fair, because it is absolutely what I have to do, and there's a reason for that, and I wish I could talk about it. But that's not the real. Now, the real reason is I'm very happy today. I'm very, very happy today.
Circle your calendars.
That's why I'm happy. There's the newspaper.
There they are.
The big win last night.
Yes, the Red Sox.
I'm very happy today.
Good, I'm glad, because you weren't happy a couple of days ago.
No, I was unsettled.
But let me just say, yes, you're happy about that. But, Rob, you're a witness. Now, please try to be impartial, because I know he's going to think that you're going to suck up to me. So be impartial.
No, won't happen.
Was he happier up in the office when he walked in? Because Rob and I were there when Mike walked in. We happened to be speaking. Was Mike happier about the other thing? Or about... Should I drop it?
Yes. Okay. Buzz, talk for a minute.
Okay.
Talk for a minute.
Don and Mike are now going to talk about...
Yeah, I have to explain this
to
you.
Okay.
They're really...
Right.
I think I did a long time ago.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Turn our microphones off.
Mike, who is frequently unhappy, is happy today. And there are two reasons. One of them he can share with us, the success of the Boston Red Sox. The other he won't share with us, and that's what he and Don are discussing right now. Don, of course, would love to talk about it. Mike apparently doesn't want to talk about it to protect it. Don and Mike will be back with you shortly as soon as they work out what they are and aren't going to talk about. I see discussion, I see laughter, and we're just waiting for Don and Mike to return to find out if we're going to find out why Mike is happy today. Mike is an unsettled soul, he says.
I turn it now over to Mike.
Okay. Now I'm in a different. I was simply going to say that's what I was going to say.
The Red Sox.
The Red Sox.
Yes.
Strike everything I said about the office.
Mm-hmm.
Strike it from the record.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry.
The jury will disregard.
I know this kills you, but you've never had to deal with that, and I've had to deal with it twice now. So that's it.
Okay.
Right. And there's stuff of a marital nature that I'm not allowed to talk about. That's all I can say. So
okay.
I'm sorry about that, but that's it. And that's okay. That. Unfortunately, that's the way it works.
Mm-hmm. All right.
When you go through, I've done this twice now, when you go through a separation agreement, you sign a piece of paper that says you can't talk about things on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm at. And that's what it is.
I see.
So that's it. That's why I can't talk about that.
My apologies.
Please honor that.
Like I told Mike during the break, I really didn't know
that
it was that far-reaching that you just couldn't mention.
Yeah, I'm going to bring it into you and show it to you.
Wow.
You should probably do that, like the day they brought
it off. I'm
like
going to run it off to you.
Just like the day that they brought the day that they finally brought the Red Book in to say this is what you can say, what you can't say.
Exactly.
You can allude to this, you can allude to that.
Of course, if I bring it in, I know exactly what would happen.
I would not.
No, you do what you do with all rules, which has made you and made us very successful. You'd say, well, we can get around that.
Yeah, but it's different though because it's your future.
Yeah, it's my life.
I mean, this is a goof.
It's my life, and welcome to it.
Us doing this, and yes,
but unsettled. You know what unsettled is?
Well, you're the winner.
Unsettled is moments of happiness punctuated by moments of sadness. But unsettled is really never knowing if you're there yet, and that definitely is where I'm at.
Mm.
I do not know. I don't even know if I'll know when I know. So I'm unsettled.
Okay. That could be true of everybody, though.
You and I would
I suppose you're right. Yeah.
I would say I know where I'm at.
Yeah, well, I think you always have. Always.
I know where I'm at. I'm here right now. I'm living the dream.
<That's true. laughs>
I'm serious.
Yeah.
What, you think I'm BSing you?
Yes, I do.
I'm serious.
No, it's funny. It's funny. It's the dream.
I can't.
Buzz is right. Buzz is absolutely right.
I cannot imagine having a Joe job.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'd be screwed.
Yeah. If I didn't have this job, I'd be in an institution.
We all would.
Which is why I don't...
Or you could say, if I didn't have this job, I would be very stable and everything would be fine.
No.
You can look at it both ways.
No. Listen, you love. We're very lucky to.
I love this job.
To do what we love and to love what.
Wouldn't
we do
this anyway. Job for 20 years if I didn't love this.
And
job.
Here's the thing that I wouldn't wish on my son. It's only I'm only here because this is it. Out of everything that I could do in the world, I was able to chisel it down right away from an early age.
Mm-hmm.
All of your standard occupations,
right.
Simply not capable. It's not that I was afraid of the work, simply not capable.
Well, I would say that's true only because I had never done anything else. I mean, I've never done anything that wasn't related to radio, and I wouldn't know what I was doing. And
yeah,
at this case, and you know, now after this, I mean, there are a lot of things I think I could do, you know, but I mean, it's really...
There's nothing that I think that I could do that wasn't in some way related to radio.
Oh, really?
I really... What, like, you see me doing real estate? Hey, how you doing? This is a nice house. What do you think of that? Kid, real estate? No. Management? No. And then let's
you know what I thought? You know what I've always thought about as a second career, something that I'd like to do that I'd enjoy doing? I'd like to be a behind-the-scenes political person. I'd always thought that I could be very good at that.
See?
The kind of guy that's like the guy behind the guy.
See?
I couldn't be the guy because there are too many skeletons.
Never had a thought. Never had an aspiration. You know, I think right away, Safeway. That's probably where I'd be.
Yeah, I couldn't do anything sales related because it involves numbers and I'm bad at numbers.
Right, but they got computers for that at Safeway. But I'm relatively good at numbers. But that's what I'd be. I'd be a checkout guy.
You'd kill yourself.
Maybe I'd be a Safeway manager.
No. That's worse. But I was at Safeway for 2 years and you would kill yourself. It is really the most mind-numbing job in the world.
You know what? Seriously, I've thought, and don't laugh at me when I say this, but what's something I really could do? I could sell cars.
I don't doubt you.
If I didn't have to do like the number thing,
you probably could.
I love cars, and I'm so into cars and about details and.
And
cars.
You're a people person.
I don't mind people.
Yeah. We could open a dealership.
Rob and I would have the
best dealership ever.
Oh my God!
Happy Motors.
Absolutely incredible, and we would only hire people that were ridiculously happy and like beer. And like beer. There'd be a beer tap on the floor.
Yep.
Half of us would be all banged up when we bought
it. No one would be able to drive the car once they bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be there checking you out, you know, when you came with your beer.
Right.
Yeah. Welcome to Safeway.
Right.
How you doing? This is why. Now I'm going to bring this full circle. This is why I hope, because I'm lucky enough, I'm not qualified to do anything. I'm barely qualified to get my car and drive here every day and function with people. This is it. This is all I can do. I hope my son has something else that he can do, that he loves to do. Because for me, this apparently was when God set this up, this was my fallback. This was it. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, you're either going to be working in a supermarket, or, you know, maybe you'll be a maintenance guy, or if you really hit the lottery, and you play everything right, and you do everything, you get out of school early, and you do everything, and you bust your ass, maybe play records.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. But know that the only other thing you could possibly ever do would be check someone out of a Safeway.
You know what you could do? You've talked about it, and I'm serious that you could do it. You could be one of those suits that works at the network. You could be a programming guy.
Yeah,
you could
absolutely.
Be a TV. Nobody knows TV like you do.
Mm. It's all subjective. And
you don't have the diplomacy type of thing.
Correct. And there you get back to it. Just more of what's wrong.
But do those guys really have diplomacy?
No.
Do those guys really have diplomacy?
No.
They don't have to.
Those guys are pit bulls, too.
Yeah.
I'm a dick.
But don't aren't most of those guys...
Yeah, but you got to have lots of... You got to have lots of years of wisdom behind you in that particular arena. I've got lots of...
You don't have the smarmy factor. Like, you couldn't walk into a room and go, hey, how are you? You know, or maybe you could.
We kind of have to
do that in radio.
I don't know. Anyway...
Buzz, what would you do if you were?
I'd go back to Shakey's if they were still open.
Shakey's.
Maybe write for a newspaper. I don't know.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. One call, perhaps two, then we'll hit an early break. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great.
Hey, I just had a question for you. I mean, Bart seems like a nice enough kid. I mean, is there something about his personality that you feel he wouldn't be able to succeed in radio? Is he different from you?
No, and I'll be absolutely honest. I don't want to sound like Kathy Lee Gifford talking about Cody. I think because of the way my kid was raised and the way that he knows, you know, albeit through me, but knows the ins and outs of radio, mm-hmm. I think he's uniquely qualified. And he's funny. I mean, he's funny to his friends. He's funny with me. He's funny. And now that he's gotten to a certain age, he can make the jokes with Rob that make Mike cringe. Bart can do that. So I think he's incredibly talented. I think it would be a waste of talent. I think he's a bright kid. And radio, I'm telling you, seriously, I hit the lottery by getting this job.
You
I don't
worked,
know.
You worked for it.
I don't know if Bart, you know, he's smarter than me. So you
feel he could do better?
Do what?
You feel he could do better than you?
Yeah, unless this was absolutely what he knew he wanted to do.
He's got to have the same heart for it that Don has.
I think you want him to do it.
No, I Mike, I swear.
You don't?
I swear that I don't. I swear that I don't play. Partly also because I know it's not the same business as when I got into it. You got into it, and you know, back when it was invented, when Buzz got into it.
Yeah, Marconi and I.
That, you know, there's no small market. You can work up now and climb your way up. You can make 50 grand a year if you want to just say, you know, Mix 107 plays the best mix. Here's Alanis Morissette.
Or done anything else.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Radio, it's always, the challenge for me is, and that's why incidentally I'm getting the vanity plates. Challenge.
Challenge.
Like so that people...
You just kind of drive down the street going, yeah.
People will either think that I'm a tard or I'm an incredible overachiever because I'm challenged and I take the challenge. The great thing about... Yeah, right. How'd you spell it, Buzz?
It fits. Challenged. That'll fit. Challenge,
right. Yeah. Because in radio, we've taken it and we've moved it all the way from where it was. That before you couldn't talk for 22 minutes about whatever the hell it is we've talked about for 22 minutes. Thank you. Goodbye.
Very good.
Good day to you, sir.
Very good.
Good day. Here is another call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, Mike, I got a Red Sox prayer for you for a half an hour from now.
A Red Sox prayer?
Red Sox prayer.
Is it a brief prayer?
Yeah, it's the Our Father.
Is it just a regular Our Father?
You really want to...
No, it's a Red Sox. I'm a lifelong Red Sox fan.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, Our Father, who art at Fenway, baseball be thy game. Thy kingdom come, World Series won, on earth as at the cask and flagon. Give us this day, Derek Lowe, and forgive us for our losses, as we forgive those like young Billy Buckner. Lead us not into depression, but deliver us from the curse. Amen.
Yeah. Okay, very nice. Hope it brings us luck today, sir. Thank you very much.
Go Red Sox.
Go Red Sox.
Right.
It's got it. And everybody was on their best behavior last night, so I was very happy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Don, I was wondering, did you get where you are today because you were determined?
Challenged and determined.
Challenged and determined.
Determined.
I believe there's an individual. Tom Gavin would be challenged and determined.
I love Don and Mike. I'm handsome.
Mm-hmm.
I love Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Don, you should feel a little more settled, buddy, because I'm a maintenance guy in Buffalo performing maintenance right now, and I'm a little unsettled. So feel good.
Okay.
You've done well.
Yeah, but wait. What you do has nothing to do with your settle level. It's more like what matches you. If you're happy doing maintenance work, then you're happy.
Well, I'm not.
That's why I said I was very lucky. I'm doing something that I love. That I won the lottery in that regard.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, I do something that pays the bill.
What would you really like to do if you could choose?
Well, I was, you know, if you talk about hitting the lottery, I tried to be a musician. So, and in Buffalo, that's not really going to happen.
You know, I know so many people that don't. There are people that are very happy that I have known that don't put everything on that ambition scale. That just are happy to exist, have good friends, have good relationships.
How many letters in ambition? Hold on a second.
AMBITION.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. Hey, someone call DMV and get ambition.
Ambition, that's a one.
Yeah, you
that's an a-hole.
That's a super one.
Ambition. Yeah, but I think, you know, you can be happy doing anything.
Many people are.
And making no money. There are people that are very happy to make no money at all.
Sure.
Look at me.
Right,
yeah, I have hair.
And yeah, and you have hair.
So there you go.
Bravo, my friend.
I'm a short guy, though, so.
We all laughed at you.
All right. Thanks.
Get out of here.
We all have our
crossed. Hi, Don and Mike. Hello.
How you guys doing today?
We're doing great.
Got a question. What if your son in about 2 years came up to you and said, hey, Pop, I've done radio at school. I really like it. Would you use your widespread hands in the industry to help him out?
Sure. Of course.
You would? You would open doors for him?
Of course. Yeah. Of course. But not my front door. That is one rule that we have.
Well, you know also the business. You can open a door for him.
Once you leave my house, you're out of my house. I wish you Godspeed. I love you more than anything. But please remember, your time here is over. You're welcome at Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome at Christmas. You're welcome during your any break you get from school. And, of course, perhaps we can even work out a deal for summertime accommodations.
Amen.
But beyond that, you know.
Would you feel good enough to tell your son that he was really bad if he was?
Yes.
He would?
Yeah.
Tell him you'd urge him to get off the air?
Yes, I'm urging you to get off the phone right now. Okay?
All right, I'm punching out.
All right, thanks.
There's the proof.
There he goes. We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't know what to say except it's Christmas and we're all in misery.
The Don and Mike Show.
Uncle Bob.
Hey, go. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I have a gift for you. Gift for you.
Did they make you break rocks in prison?
Oh, no, Aegon. But I did something much harder than that, thank you.
The moon is right. I wrote
a book.
The spirit's up.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
God, I can't do this. Dennis Murphy always craves the spotlight, and Don and Mike are always fascinated by Dennis Murphy's dog-like teeth. In this segment on the best of Don and Mike, Dennis is in the studio, and he's going to chew on ice, and he's going to chew on tinfoil. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Joining us now, a racketeer, mad about town, entertainer, full-time entertainer, either microphone you like, Dennis, and a star of his brand new album, his love song album.
Have today's events begun to turn around the public's perception? Here's Dennis Murphy.
What is the title of your album, Dennis?
One Hand, One Heart.
One Hand, One Heart.
And One Heart.
Here's Dennis Murphy with a Dateline Court TV exclusive.
As you don't know, Dennis was born with Moesha syndrome.
Mobius syndrome.
Which means
Mobius
have today's
syndrome.
Events begun to turn around the public's perception? Here's Dennis Murphy.
He has only half of one arm.
Up to the wrist. Missing a hand, right?
Yeah. And no tongue.
Half a tongue.
If I had no tongue,
I couldn't talk.
And the syndrome is also marked by an incredible desire to be on the radio as often
as possible. And he's not let it slow him down.
Here again, Dennis Murphy.
No.
As a matter of fact, he's possibly the most annoying person.
Hold on. Why am I annoying?
Well, how long have we been friends, Dennis? How long has this relationship lasted? How many years?
18 years.
Yeah. 18
wow.
years.
18 years of
and
you.
And how can we describe how annoying you are in the 18 years we've known you?
I'll give you a quick one from today.
Okay.
Yesterday we said, be here at 4 o'clock, please.
Yeah, and I was on the road at 2:30, and I got caught on 395.
Right. Never any traffic there.
Right.
but it usually takes me an hour and 15 minutes.
Right, but Don allowed for your tardiness because you're usually late.
Yeah, I'm ready for you, Dennis. I knew you'd be
have
late.
Today's events begun to turn around the public's perception. Here's Dennis Murphy.
Anyway, here he is. He's done a lot of things on the show over the years. He jumped out of an airplane. He's gone to Reno.
Did you go to Hedonism? We sent you to Hedonism.
Hedonism.
Right.
Lost his virginity on the show.
Yeah.
We've dressed him up in various outfits, but we keep coming back to one thing with Dennis, and that is his dental hygiene. That it was a couple of years ago, I believe, when we were looking at his feet one day.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of the topic of Dennis's teeth.
His teeth, and you have. Let's see him. Let's see him. All right, there we go.
And you know what? Now that we have this,
hey, you know what? They look better.
Okay.
Look at them. Don't they look better?
Let me see the bottom, Dennis. We need a digital camera in here.
Oh, come on.
Okay, what the hell? Because listen,
going to get it.
Okay, thanks.
This is all to sell your album, Dennis.
Yeah. You go to WJFK.com. They're relatively fast with this. Go to the click on the icon for the Don and Mike show.
Good. Right.
And under pictures, there's an awful picture of Mike and I with Dave Barry the other day. And
is it a bad picture?
Next to that, well, I considered it bad.
Really?
I was wearing a tight shirt and
you look fat in it?
Didn't hold my belly. Anyway, I look fat.
Really?
Yeah.
Gong, you always look wonderful.
Oh, shut up, Dennis.
Oh, okay.
But that's just me.
At least we can always tell people that Dave Barry grabbed our ass.
He did, and the picture was taken at the moment of surprise. And I don't have a real happy look on my face. It's more like a little bit what Dave Barry's hand is on my ass. Anyway, that's beside the point. You go to the WJFK.com, and you're going to be able to see a picture of Dennis's teeth.
Yeah, we're going
to
get a real good close-up.
You'll finally know what we're talking about with these teeth.
But the top ones look good. Look like you've been doing better with the top ones.
Yeah, the top ones are doing well, but...
What's wrong with the bottom ones?
What's wrong with the bottom ones, Dennis?
Oh, they've been a problem since birth.
Well, how so? And what's wrong with them? Well, they're a little crooked.
Yeah. But they tried dental work when I was 10, and they did the best they could, but I did not wear the retainer after I got my orthodontic work completed,
how many
and that's
teeth?
Why I knew.
All right, should you have worn a retainer?
I wore it for a year, but I stopped wearing it after that.
He was hard to understand.
Just an asshle.
I'm wondering, Dennis, really, have you considered ever yanking them out?
And we've had this discussion.
And I think we could probably get a dentist to do it.
We'll probably get it done for free.
Guys, we've offered to pay to have dentures put in.
But why? What's the delay on that,
Dennis? Well, there's no delay.
You know what? You crack me up, Rob, because you really are talking about ripping the teeth out of his head. What's the holdup, Dennis?
I mean, I'm sure they'd use some anesthetic.
Guys, let's get the picture here. Okay. Let Charlie get the picture for the
You're having a sensitive Thursday, Rob.
Tops and bottoms, please, Charlie.
You might want to take your fingers and open up so we can see them.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's just, you know, that's a good shot of Dennis's mouth.
Open your mouth.
That's good.
Right. And you got the bottom ones too, Charlie? Mike, how's the picture look?
Fabulous.
Okay, one more. Take another one.
Pull your bottom lip down and say ah.
Ah.
Say
listener.
Hold on. Ah, good, good.
No. Get the stump out of the way.
Too much saliva.
All right. Get the stump out of the way, Dennis. Move it. Yeah, just like that. That's perfect. There we go. All right, let me see that one.
How are those
photos? Blurry.
Like,
that's blurry.
Oh, dear. All right, one more.
All right. All right, let me. Like crime scene
photographs. That should be a winner.
Oh, come on.
It looks like something you'd see in one of those magazines about diseases.
All right, Charlie, get that right up to the webmaster.
Very good.
Get that on WJFK.com. So we were having the conversation with Dennis about his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have wanted to help Dennis with dental work. The question is, here you go. Let me take a good look. Okay, I see in the picture. That's the driver. I got two words. Screensaver. What you will want to do is download this to make this your screensaver.
Oh,
let me see that one.
On your PC.
Oh, my God.
Take a look at that one.
I'm telling you, you want a way to let your friends, your coworkers, your family
know that
you're connected to the internet. Go to the third picture of Dennis's mouth.
Very good.
And use it as your screensaver.
Oh, my God.
There we go.
All right, Charlie. So thank you. Get that upstairs right away.
And Dennis, the sales currently of your album, how are we doing with that?
Up to 20 now.
20 copies.
20
copies.
Over 19 sold.
Available at DennisMurphy.com.
How long has it been on the market?
August 13th, I think.
Almost a copy a day.
Yeah.
That's good. And I'm sure after today you'll sell a lot more.
Now, we got to cut right to it with Dennis.
Okay.
The question is, with these teeth, we had asked him the other day, are they sensitive to, you know, they have like the toothpaste, Sensodyne.
Mm-hmm.
If you have rotten teeth, the thought would be that something cold in your mouth would really flip your teeth.
And this is a medical experiment. Why do you have the envelope? What's in the envelope?
No.
Let's start it with
your CD.
All right.
No.
All right, do we have the ice for Dennis?
We have the ice.
Very good.
There is a cup of ice for Dennis. Mike, there you go.
I hand it to you. All right, hold on, Dennis. I'll come over. I'm going to feed them to you.
Okay.
Don, you tell me when you're ready to go.
I'm ready. Born ready. I was ready for this yesterday.
You want Google Cloud?
That's I think I'm gonna go phone like number this. Five.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. I slipped.
Mike, here, don't you miss that mouth.
All right. Ready? Here we go. These are those.
No, Dennis, chew these ice cubes for us to prove us that your teeth are not cooled sensitive.
Okay. Are you okay?
I'm gagging.
He's gagging.
Don't choke.
Mm.
Now, I don't think you're allowed to put your fingers in your mouth.
No, I have to.
Are you, he has to chew the ice.
Is like chewing ice hard for you, Dennis?
Mm-hmm. His lips are paralyzed. That's why it's...
This answers our question, though. The teeth are obviously not oversensitive to cold.
Not at all.
Apparently
I mean,
not.
He's attacking that.
All right, Dennis, that's fine. Let's move on to the second part of the experiment.
Spit the ice out there. Go ahead. There's the ice.
No, right there. I'll swallow it.
You swallow it?
Swallow it or spit it. It's your choice.
Is there any sensation, Dennis?
Let's go to the second part of the experiment. And this would be...
No, I don't cook this. Why don't you do that?
Aluminum foil. I'm just going to take a small piece of it.
Okay.
You need tiny pieces all you need.
There you go. That's big enough, right?
Yeah, that's all fine. Right.
Dennis, put that in your mouth and chew that. Chew that aluminum foil.
There you go.
And can you hold the microphone, the hand held up?
Here. This one right here. There you go. God. Did it hurt?
You all right?
Okay.
Does it hurt, Dennis? We're sorry.
Is that real or faking it? Are you all right?
I'm gagging.
Okay.
Okay.
Really gagging. Did it hurt? Yeah, just hold on to it. Why don't you hold on? Just what you want to do is...
Just a pinch between your cheek and gum.
Hold it with your fingers and then just kind of right around. Checking for sensitivity. Not even sensitive to foil.
Charlie's getting a picture of this now. Dennis has a piece of aluminum foil.
Don, he is chewing it like...
He's chewing aluminum foil.
He's chewing aluminum foil. Something the average person can't do. He's Superman.
I know
it's
I
amazing.
Couldn't. I know
what,
I couldn't.
What's the problem?
You know what?
Wow.
There is none.
You passed the test.
Unbelievable, as you like to say.
Dennis Murphy.
Yeah. Now throw it away, please, because it's like saliva and goo
Dennis
all over
Murphy,
the place.
Everybody.
No, I don't know. The ice isn't
my teeth
good.
Hurt after watching that. Yeah.
Well, look, this is why I've lived for 23 years.
Yeah, which is why you wanted to get laid the other day when the girl, when that Gore-Tex girl called.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, the Gore-Tex girl.
Did you contact her?
Joe never gave me her number.
Oh, Joe.
Hey, what happened to that girl you met on the internet? No, she's not a girl. The old lady, the old woman you met on the internet who lived out in Phoenix.
Oh, she doesn't talk with me anymore.
What happened?
She's doing well. She's just getting... I pissed her off a couple times.
You pissed her off?
Yeah. Mm.
But you flew out to Phoenix and you had sex with her.
Twice.
Yeah. Twice. And how old was she?
Now she's 62.
62?
Yeah. 62. The thing is, you know, what I'm finding, the older women are better than younger.
The ones you can get are better than the ones you're getting.
You're not
desperate.
Well, what is this? Well, hold on, Dennis. Dennis, what is the status of your sex life now? Do you have anybody that...
I'm still looking.
You're still looking?
I'm still looking to have my child.
Oh, you want to have a child?
Yeah.
Wait, this is a new
development. I have to break in here for a second.
Once again, here's Dennis Murphy.
Hey, and I'm going to ask you, our listeners, a very quick question. I'll tell you exactly what we're doing here. We're going to take you behind the scenes. We have this phoner set up for Mike and I to do one of our things coming up.
Right.
We're going to be the... those guys. Now, we can have Dennis do the interview.
Uh-huh.
The question is, will you guys listen to it?
Okay, you want to have Dennis, like, give the interview to Dennis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let Dennis do it.
And you want to get an opinion on that.
Yeah, so I like
it. Right, I think it'll be usually the usual split opinion. That
hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, yeah, hi.
I was going to tell you why, y'all know why that hurts when you chew on aluminum foil?
It didn't hurt Dennis.
Why it hurts most people, and Dennis is weird anyway. Yeah. I don't want to know why it hurts most people. Because you're filling.
It's an ionic charge. It's different.
Do you have any fillings, Dennis?
Yeah, I don't know, 4 or 5.
Huh. Would you like to hear Dennis do an interview with a guy who's got a restaurant where he's trying to make people sign a waiver so that they won't sue him for being obese if they eat his fantastic dessert? That's the setup?
Wouldn't surprise me. Whatever Dennis does, he's out there.
You like Dennis. That's okay. A positive one, yeah. I think.
Hello, Don and Mike. Do you want Dennis to do the interview, or should we do it like that?
No, let Dennis do it. I like Dennis.
All right, there you go, Dennis, yeah. Too.
Don and Mike, hello.
Yeah, just wanted to say the less Dennis, the better.
The less Dennis,
there's one.
The better.
Yeah, there's a Dennis.
Hello,
yeah,
Don and Mike show.
You're going
to
get that.
Can I talk to Don and Mike, please?
I'm sorry, you disqualified. You should have known. Hi, Don and Mike.
Yeah, have Dennis do it.
Have Dennis do it.
Thank you.
Hold on, I got it right here. The brainstorm. Dennis, can you go,
Can you be like the puking disc jockey?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you? Let's rehearse. Hold on, let's rehearse now.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. My name is Mike.
And I'm Mike.
I'm Mike.
You want to do that one?
Yeah,
you want to do it.
No, you're going with it.
Okay.
You gotta.
And it's the 3 for the road show.
Can we fuck a boat?
How are you?
How you doing? Mr. Nobody, what are you trying to put?
Dennis, listen.
Okay.
I'm about to change my mind on this.
Well, okay.
Yeah, you know we're gonna get angry. You know that.
I know we will.
It's really either you and I are doing it or him. But we're gonna kill him.
Because Dennis, you can do it if you do the whole jive disc jockey.
Okay, I'll do that.
For instance, read this copy.
Okay.
The prize you're gonna be giving away later. Read it like in your disc jockey voice, and you know what I mean. Hey, how you doing, everybody? Do it like that.
Hi, how you doing, everybody? Southwest Airline Flyaway. You have won the pay around good airline tickets to fly on Southwest Airlines to any destination of your choice. Southwest Airlines offers 2700 daily numbers 5 o'clock.
Please let him do it alone.
The country including great service to Florida, Southwest Airlines, the no fail neither.
I want to hear the guest when it's just him.
Please.
Right, okay.
But you still have to be Michael Hunt. Buzz will introduce you the proper way.
Okay. I don't think the censors can get us on this one.
And then it's all up to you. If you leave the room during the commercials now, someone will go to the green room.
Please go away now, Dennis.
Someone will give you the setup on this bit. Hi, Charlie.
I just wanted to say that Dennis's lovely picture is up on WJFK.com.
Very good. It is.
Thank you.
Wow. Wonderful.
Fantastic. So this is great. So now you listen to him, and now you'll be able to see the mouth, that teeth and aluminum foil, the ice and aluminum foil have no effect on.
Thank you for making that decision. I think it's going to be enjoyable radio.
I think it'll be short. I know it'll be right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show. WJFK.
In Virginia, on the inner loop of the Beltway, we do have an accident just before Springfield. It's over.
It's the holiday season once again, and this is Grover Washington Jr. wishing you the best.
Hi, this is Michael Bolton wishing you all the very best this holiday season and in the coming new year.
Hi, this is Tony Bennett wishing you the best in the holiday season and the coming new year.
Shut up!
The Don and Mike Show.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Mike Korn, enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
Before we get back into the best of Don and Mike and more about Dennis Murphy, let's see what's happening tonight on Access Hollywood for Thursday, December 23rd, 2004.
Life, camera, access.
America's multiplexes are full of holiday movies, but for now, Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events is number one. It's next in the Access Hollywood update.
Get ready for the holidays with huge savings on pet foods and treats at PetSmart. Hurry in to save up to 20% on hundreds of your favorite brands like Pedigree 44-pound bags, just $13.99. Fancy Feast cans, just 38 cents. And 16-ounce value pack of Greenies dog treats for only $14.99. Save big on other popular brands like Iams, Dog and Cat Chow, Jetta Bones, One, Pro Plan, Beneful, and many more. These huge holiday savings are going on now for a limited time only at PetSmart. Offer good while supplies last. See store for details.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For birthdays, holidays, or any occasion, give the perfect memorable gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333, or visit us at starregistry.com, the Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list and send a beautiful personalized gift package. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nancy O'Dell with the Actors Hollywood Update. And as I found out, it's nearly impossible to keep a straight face around Jim Carrey.
Ask him about the naughty stuff.
Well, the naughtiest aspect of Jim's life right now is his role as the psychopathic actor Count Olaf in Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events, which is based on the beloved children's novel. And for young actors Emily Browning and Liam Aiken, dealing with Jim's manic acting style was the most unfortunate part.
He definitely does improvise a lot, which makes it really hard to concentrate.
As for me, well, I've finally got the name of the film right.
I don't know if you remember this or not. You gotta go back to the hair there really quick, though. You did this for Lickety-Split.
You got it right. Lickety-Split.
That's like your Sally Fields moment. That's like your, like, you love me, you really love me. You will never live that down.
For all of your Hollywood news, you can click on to AccessHollywood.com.
Access. The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
Dennis is in the studio. He's already chewed some ice and he's chewed some tinfoil. Now Dennis is going to do an interview. It's Dennis doing the Mike Show. It's the best of Don and Mike.
All right, Dennis, are you ready for the Mike Show?
Well, I'm waiting for the Mike Show.
Okay, keep in mind, very soon, I need that orange piece of paper that I gave you, Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
In the next hour, we'll be giving away the Southwest Airlines flyaway. Buzz, you ready to give him the intro? Buzzy?
I'm ready.
Yes. No, sorry about that. Buzz's mic wasn't on either. Dennis, do you have the setup for this interview?
Yes.
And briefly, what is the setup?
What?
Nothing. What is it, Dennis?
I just am enjoying the playful interaction between you and Rob.
What is the setup here?
The guy the co-owner is trying to have people sign labels on the barge. Dessert.
Okay, so he has a very fattening dessert. If you want this dessert, you have to sign a waiver saying you're never going to sue this guy.
If you get obese,
that you're obese.
Got it.
And you're going to sound like. Let me see if there's any of the tape left.
How are you? That kind of. Yeah. How are you doing? This is Mike. No.
Okay, a little separation between the mic and Mike.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mike?
No.
Okay, and remember, you got to do that. And now Buzz will intro you. Mm-hmm. The guy's on hold. He knows he's going on the air.
Okay.
So don't talk until Buzz introduces you. Is everybody ready?
Ready.
Yes.
All right, Mike. Our mics will go into the audition mode.
Very good.
So we will not be heard.
Good luck, Dennis.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Buzz, wait for my cue, please.
Ready.
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's the One for the Road Show with Mike Hunt. Now, here's your host, Mike Hunt.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike. How you doing there? This is Mike. And right now on the phone, we have Jeremy Hardy, co-owner of the Five Spot. Hi, Jeremy. How you doing?
Good, Mike. How are you?
Doing good. Remember, this is Mike. So, the barge. Can you describe this dessert, please?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's a banana that's deep fried.
Interrupt them often.
Let me tell you the way it starts. It's a banana rolled in sugar. And then fried, it's got Madagascar vanilla ice cream, whipped cream on top,
Timian
nuts,
Talk about bananas, how you like bananas, Mike.
By the way, I love bananas. By the way, you're listening to the Mike show, and we have Jeremy Hardy. The Mike, Jeremy. So, okay, I love bananas. So, how many bananas do you have in the bowl?
It's one whole banana, but it's a ton of food.
Now you got to take traffic and weather coming together.
Traffic and weather coming together on the 8th. And make sure you listen to the Jeremy Kong show at 7 o'clock. Jeremy, tell me more about the bowl.
Well, before you order the bowl,
okay,
you have to sign a release.
Well, why do you have to sign a release?
Because there is some lawyers are wanting to make the restaurant.
I hate lawyers.
Lawyers are bad. Lawyers are really bad.
Very good, Mike.
Because John Bancroft is giving you problems, huh?
Absolutely. Want to make us responsible for obesity, and we're just saying, you know, you guys are nuts.
Just
give them a big.
We've sold hundreds of these.
You sold hundreds of these, and people are willing to sign the waiver.
That's right, and between every single one of them we sell, you got to sign a waiver first, and people are loving it.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you listen to the classic and weather on the 8th with Jim.
Plug the Tom Gavin show, too.
By the way, Tom Gavin is on at 8 o'clock tonight on W.
Talking about paint.
On paint. And how he smells paint chips. Okay, Jeremy. What else do you have to say about the ball?
Now give the time again, Dad.
It's 6:03, and you're listening to the W-whatever show.
Well, what time is it in California?
Oh, by the way, it's 3 after the hour. Okay, Jeremy, go ahead, please.
Okay, Mike.
By the way, my name is Mike. Remember that.
I got it. I'll never forget that.
Okay. No, it's not Mike. It's Michael. Michael, remember that. Okay, what else do you have to say about the bulge?
Well, that, this release is really funny. We don't want to be...
Read the joke.
Jump right in.
Okay, hey, thanks for your time. Our time is always special. My time is your time, and the current time is 6:05. 3:05 at West. Okay. So, Jeremy, this sounds like a wonderful good. And I'll make sure if I'm in Seattle, I'll buy the ball.
Ask him to hold on, please.
The ball. Hey, Jeremy, can you hold on, please?
Yes,
you've been listening to the One for the Road show with Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network. Tune in again next time when Mike's guest will be Mike. And Mike's. This is Mike speaking.
Hey, Buzz. All right, now, Robbie, do the post interview.
Buzz, you cracked me up there.
Thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it. Well, he's great. He is special, but
he's very special.
He does a really good job. We'd love to keep you in our Rolodex if possible. You can call back someday. Good luck with that. All right, how would you rate the interview?
There you go.
Yes, from your end.
Long answer.
Waiting to get the answer.
Letter grade?
Letter grade. D.
A B. All right.
A B. Oh, hey!
Hey!
Bill Bell. Very nice.
What a dummy.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-then.
Bye-then.
Way to go, Mike.
And you're going to like this, Dennis. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Guys, you are the radio gods. I've been listening to you for years. Nothing has ever made me turn you off before.
Hold on.
Dennis,
this was not the call I was looking for. I don't give a crap. We love Dennis.
Yeah.
What's funny is all the stuff that we just threw at that poor guy, and the only thing that was concerned was... I'm not sure I really got my message across. Oh,
that's true. Here's the call I was looking for. Melissa, or rather, should I call her Miss Gortek?
Oh.
Miss Gortek.
Hey, what I just heard made me want to turn my radio up. You guys are radio gabs.
Oh, thank you.
That was great, Dennis.
Oh, thank you. Hey, what are you doing this weekend?
I don't know. What are you doing this weekend?
You want to hook up?
You know, I need to talk to you guys about yesterday. I called from work, and it kind of got around work that I used the company's phone to call.
Did you get fired?
I don't know.
Dennis, why don't you go talk to this girl in the
room? Yeah, talk to her and let us know how it goes. Dennis is going to talk to you off the air, okay, Gore-Tex?
All right, guys.
Okay, hold on. I'll be right with you.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Now,
thank you,
this Dennis. Is the quickest he'll ever get out of the studio.
Now go close the deal.
Go.
Goodbye.
See? It's the radio first, though. Yeah. You wanted to stay by the microphone.
Bye.
Go!
I know, your plug, right? DennisMurphy.com. Right. Okay.
See, he doesn't care about women. He cares about the microphone.
Yeah, but he is out of here.
Yeah, he's out of here. We'll see how
we're still on the air, and he's out of here.
Yeah, he's making... You know, I like the way, hey, maybe we can hook up. Right away. I like that. Right out of the chute.
He's got the lingo. Well, of course, being as we live in this modern FCC age, I can't put the phone call on the air.
Right.
But as soon as I... Oh, let me see if I can pick up the line and listen.
Eavesdrop. See what's going on.
That'd be great.
Is he talking to her?
Hello?
You didn't hang up on her, did you?
Yeah. I can't pick it up.
Yeah, he's sometimes you can.
God damn it. He's got privacy. Stay there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
The Don and Mike Show. Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Arnold has been elected the governor of California, and Arnold takes meeting with one of his biggest contributors to the campaign. And during this meeting, Tom Gavin gives Don and Mike a call. It's the best of Don and Mike.
What's been going on in the campaign?
He's won. Arnold Schwarzenegger has won.
Right.
And now we take you live to Arnold's campaign headquarters, where there's a meeting of the board or his guys. Turn the thing on there, Rob.
His advisors. First of all, I'd like to thank all the people for coming by. I'd like to introduce my main advisor. I know most of you haven't had a chance to meet the number one guy behind my campaign, and some of you might have a little trouble with this choice, but I'm going to tell you, for California and getting rid of Cray Davis, this was my go-to guy. Please welcome, you might know him as Lucifer, Satan, Beelzebub, my chief political and financial advisor. This is Satan. Satan, I know you'd like to say a few words to the campaign and to my assembled cabinet here.
First, I must apologize, Mr. Baby.
Way to go, Satan.
Tomorrow on the show,
you're my main guy.
Dr. Natasha Terry.
Oh, yeah. That is great. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. Way to go. That's great. How you been doing, Beelzebub?
As I look around this room, Arnold.
Yes.
I see in your supporters, the people who have bankrolled this campaign.
Yes,
sir. Many familiar faces and good friends.
I know. You supported so many of them, and we are grateful that, you know, the thing is that you'll be part of the campaign, even when it's not a campaign. You'll be part of governing California. And I know you've got several thoughts that are good thoughts about how we should govern and some of the new rules you'd like to see implemented in the state.
Many people have said to me, they've called me on the Satan line.
Yes, Satan.
And said, what are you doing with an idiot like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Hey, come on now.
And I say to them,
I am the god of hellfire.
There you go.
And I bring you
Los Angeles.
Yes.
San Francisco.
Very good.
Sacramento.
Very exciting, Satan.
Bakersfield.
Yeah, bold.
Fresno. Burbank. Palm Springs.
You are the guy. You are the guy. I've liked you ever since I signed the contract right before Pumping Iron.
And I knew that you had what it takes.
Thank you, Satan.
And here's what we will be doing in our first term as governor in the state of California.
This is so good. This was an idea, I should say before he starts, that was hatched on the set of Twins when I first met him since signing the contract and giving my soul to Satan. Go ahead,
hey,
Satan, yes.
And hey, how about that you got on the set of Twins?
Oh, don't get showing. You joined me in all the groping, and you taught me what it is. This guy, if I can make him embarrassed, is a great groper. He is a great groper. Yes, don't
ow! Ow! Oh, he blushes, fire comes out of his cheeks.
I'm blushing.
Nine.
All right, I want to say something to all the investors who are here, all of the people who joined us in JoinArnold.com.
Thank you very much, Satan. Yes, it's all been because of you, but all the campaign workers who got together with me and knew that, really didn't know that you were the guy behind the scenes of the movie career.
Listen, I am, what did you call me?
Beelzebub. Yes,
that's what I am. I am.
Sorry. You are bigger.
Who are your base?
You are whatever you want, and I hate to embarrass you because you make flames shoot out of your cheeks.
But let me just say, is there anyone in this room who didn't think that he could win if I wasn't on his side?
They're all shaking their head. No,
of course not.
See, we know that.
Of course not. Which is why, for every $500 that you've contributed to the campaign, $250 of that money has been earmarked for our personal charity. It's called Arnold's Nazis of Tomorrow.
Oh, you are so kind. Wow. I appreciate that. That's very nice.
Huh.
Now, my man here, the Terminator.
Don't get slipped, yes.
He slipped a little bit during the campaign with this whole thing about Hitler.
I was in the scene, yeah. Do you like the way I handled it? That was this guy here who told me, you know, you just pretend you forgot the statement that you made and don't tip your hand and, you know, don't be talking about another good guy. Yeah, there you go, Satan.
Because, as you know, Arnold's dad was a client of mine way back in WW2.
And a big fan. A great big fan. But that guy, Cray Davis, refused to sign up, and you decided to come to my side. And, you know, I've always been on the dark side with you, Satan. Very exciting.
How else do you think a man of this limited intellect and limited skills, social skills, would not be a major movie star? He's banging a Kennedy.
There you go.
He's in the Kennedy compound.
That's right.
And now he is the governor of California.
California, turn on the flames for that, Satan. Yeah, here I am, the governor of California. Look at the big snake shooting out of the table. I'm so excited. I can tell you, this is going to be such a great time.
Silence.
Sorry, Satan. I apologize. Sorry.
Now, just to do a trick, to get the contributors to give more money.
Yeah.
Arnold?
Yes, Satan.
I'm going to give you the power for exactly 10 seconds.
Okay.
To speak with the wealth of knowledge that you will need to actually govern the state. Watch as I am able to turn the switch.
What?
And for 10 seconds, make him a regular, average citizen. Arnold, what's wrong with California? Arnold?
What's wrong with California is the fact that there aren't enough Nazis.
Okay, now, see, that's the real guy.
Wow. Yeah, Dankeschön.
Now I'm going to give him some programming.
Okay.
I'm going to download Arnold 2.0.
Very good.
Now, this is not completed yet.
No.
Arnold, what's your plan for California?
The plan for California is to get up to Sacramento and work on the deficit and all the debt that we have without raising the taxes so that we can bring the people back into the government and take it out of the hands of the special interests.
Now I'm going to move it between the two.
Okay.
And I've never done this before with a human spectacle like this.
Amazing.
But it's going to be somewhere between the real Arnold, the regular guy who you heard, and the guy who had my spiel. So let me try Arnold 1.5.
an incredible demonstration.
This is Arnold Schwarzenegger. We will be getting rid of the financial problems by getting rid of the Americanos and bringing in some of the good Austrians and Germans.
You are an amazing byproduct of my incredible intellect. I am so pleased with this event. I want everyone to make sure tonight you shake my hoof.
Very good.
Shake my hoof.
Not bad for a muscle-bound Austrian nose picker. That's great.
And you couldn't have gotten here without me.
Nein.
Beelzebub.
Nein, Beelzebub has done a great job. And together, we will move forward in the thing and get the thing done for the thing. And you got to give me more words that make me sound like I'm a good governor, okay?
All right.
I'll study with you next time, I suppose. That would be fun.
I'll give you a word.
Please give me a word.
The word is advisement.
Advisement.
Please try on your own to use it in a sentence. Advisement.
I would like to thank the advisement of Beelzebub.
No. If someone asks you a question, Arnold, how are you going to cut taxes? You say, I'll take that suggestion under advisement.
I will take that suggestion under advisement and bless your red Satan.
Wow.
I suppose I shouldn't bring up Satan.
No,
you always tell me always he's a behind-the-scenes kind of guy.
The,
right.
All of the investors in the room here, and I just want to say, you've got the house lights turned down, but I see so many clients here. Larry King, Kathy Lee Gifford, the entire
fantastic cast
of Melrose Place.
Oh, I love the girls there. If there's a chance that in the speech you're not going to use the same therapy and technique of training that you used before the campaign.
No.
Unless I get out of line.
Unless you get out of line.
Okay, I'll try it. Welcome to the first press conference. I'd like to invite all of the girls that are in the press corps to come back to the mansion, and maybe we could have a talk, and I could maybe grab your...
Oh, hey.
Wow.
You burnt my buttock. My muscular buttocks have been burnt by you. That is causing me great agony, please.
Every time you cry out the breast.
I know.
I had to do that to you.
Oh, it is so hard for me, Satan, because you see yourself said I should completely cave into my carnal desires, and now I can't do it because I have to have this silly image and stuff.
Right. Now, if you mess up again, I'm going to bring out the glowing fish hooks.
No, please don't.
Okay. How about a hand, ladies and gentlemen? There's hundreds of you in this bunker. But if you want to say before we run out of oxygen, not that all of us need it. How about a round of applause for that great schmuck, Jay Leno, huh?
Jay Leno. Jay Leno's a great friend of the campaign.
Jay Leno, who's been a client of mine, for many years.
He worked hard on the campaign, and he's got great staffers, too. You know that behind the scenes, some of the pages there was this one with the big bosoms that I walked up to, and I said, hey, I'm going to be governor. How would you like me to grab these? And then I reached the right.
You've done the front. You've burned the front. You've made me an Oscar Mayer winner.
Austrian Nazi moron, idiot, dumbass, jerk face. I want everyone to know something.
You've burned me. Look at you. You've burned my thing. You've burned my wedding.
My first choice.
Oh.
Is it my fault that Steven Seagal said no?
I'm sorry, but I will be a good governor for you. Once again, I bless your red.
How many of you would like, just a show of applause, how many of you would like me to recall Arnold with Dolph Lundgren?
Oh, that's completely unfair. I will do it. I will do your bidding. I will be your minion. I will work for you. Even after I die, I will live to work for Satan. Please do not let me disappoint you again, oh Prince of Darkness.
All right, Arnold.
Dankeschön.
Then here's what I'm going to do for you.
Jawohl.
I'm going to give you a 90-day pass.
Okay, 90 days to do your bidding.
90 days, you know what I like.
I understand the things you like.
I like slush funds. I like, let's keep the money out of the hands of the people who need it.
I understand you want the police to have more powers to break heads. That's one of the specific directives.
SOS, shoot on sight.
There's coming to big grocery strike, and we're going to take the nightsticks out. It's going to be lots of fun.
And I've arranged a transit strike in California.
Oh, we'll have lots of carnage and bloodshed. You see, the goal is chaos. and I will bring that home to you, I promise.
Because who loves chaos? I do.
I kiss your pointy tail.
And who delivers you to? You're the Terminator, baby.
I will lick your horns out of gratitude, oh Prince of Darkness.
You're the Terminator.
You're the man. You're the greatest. You're the everything. You're my everything. Just like the Captain and Tennille.
It's my time. And they were clients as well.
Yes, or Stephanie O'Shea.
Tony Tennille and Daryl Dragon. Stand off, everybody.
Aren't they great? There's so much great. Right down next to Dee Snider. Right down my musical theater. Yeah. Freedom. Together. We will run California into the ocean. Fuck it, guys.
I love it.
Thank you, Satan.
I love it, you moron.
That's a term of India. That's a nice term.
Oh, my cell phone's ringing.
Who's calling now? It's another phone call. You better take that.
Hold on a second.
That doesn't sound like a cell
phone. I love doing this bit, though.
I know you do.
I have a call on my cell phone.
Find out who's calling you.
Satan.
Hello?
Hello, this is Satan.
Hello?
Yes.
This is God.
Oh, hey, it's one of God's little mistakes on the phone. How you doing?
Tom, this is the bad time to call. You're not supposed to call. You're supposed to daintily caress Satan's small, painted, pointed beard.
How you doing?
Hey, Satan.
How you doing, God's whoopee cushion?
Hey, how you doing there, Satan?
How you doing, God flower?
Tom, you should kneel down and praise Satan.
You know, you are your God's marked deck of cards.
Don't yell at Satan again. He doesn't like that.
Oh, Satan.
What?
Why don't you go back down the hill?
Oh, no.
Yes.
Okay, careful, Tom.
Oh, no.
What was that?
There's nothing better than bringing Tom.
God.
Nothing quite as good as bringing Tom
Gavin
into a bit. It always makes it sing to me.
I need you to go to hell.
Tom? No. I am the reason that nothing comes out.
Yo!
Remember the other day on the show after you? I am the reason.
Wow.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
You better listen to me.
Why is it that only
I am God. You better listen to me.
If you're God, we're really effed. If you're God.
There, Satan.
What was that? What was... retard?
You better listen to me, man. I'm in...
Retard says what?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, no. Hey.
Group home says what?
Hey, Tom.
A small bus says what?
Tom.
Hey, what?
Tom, if you lived in California, who would you have voted for?
Tom.
Who in California?
Tom, if you lived in California, who would you have voted for?
What's his name?
Who?
What's his name? What's his...
Gray Davis?
No.
Bruce Willis.
No.
Gary Coleman.
No.
Gallagher.
No.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
Whatever.
God's laughing all the way to the bank.
He's having a good time today, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
You.
I'm having a good day today.
Hey, Charlie.
Oh, Tom is giving Arnold a headache.
Hey, where's Charlie?
Oh, they amuse me. You know, when they come from his side...
Hey.
When they come from his side,
right.
People treat them with such love.
Hey.
Oh, they're in that queue.
Yeah.
Now, if they come from my side,
yeah.
And they do something awful, like my good friend John Hinckley,
right.
Well, then I'm screwed with a bad PR.
I believe right. He's still yelling at you. He's still screaming at you.
Damn it.
What?
Satan,
what?
You
what?
Go to hell. Now.
He doesn't like you.
I'm going to go to hell, and your mom's going to be waiting for me there.
No, I'm the monster.
I didn't say monster, I said your mother.
Shut up, you mother.
Your mother.
F you.
Your mother.
F you.
Tom.
F you, Satan.
Tom is really dropping the F-bomb here.
Tom, it's really necessary to use bad words with Satan.
Tom, don't cuss, Tom.
Satan! Yes, it is.
Yes, you. That's the only reason you can get to Satan, is if you use the bad word.
No, that actually...
God damn it, Satan! What the hell are you doing?
All right.
See, he's not bringing out the heavy artillery.
No, he can't. There is no heavy artillery.
Sure. Anymore.
What?
You jerk.
You sound like your mother.
Hey, you, shut up.
You sound like your mother is about to violate
you. You are an idiot, Satan.
I was standing in a line with a lot of dead people.
Hey, you're an idiot, Satan. Shut up and listen.
John Ritter was waiting to F your mother.
Hey, you are an idiot. You stole.
I don't think it's hitting home.
No.
Oh!
Hold on, my other line is ringing. Nice. My cell is ringing.
Now who's calling?
You're not going to believe the caller ID.
What? Who is it?
Satan. Yeah, what's happening? I'm doing my bidding. I realize that. He's not mine, he's not yours.
Oh.
Hey, he belongs to the effing universe.
Who's he talking to?
All right, I tell you what, though. You got to give me somebody back, then.
Who's he talking to?
I think he's talking to God.
I'm talking to a man that you would refer to as God.
Hey.
Yes, so anyway,
this is God.
I know.
Satan?
Well, I don't want him either.
If I say poof,
I don't want
him.
Then we're agreed.
Mike.
He's a free agent.
Hey, Mike.
Buddha, whatever. I don't want him. You want. You got it. All right. Hey, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Satan.
Hey, Tom, I got a message from God.
Who?
Tom.
Go ahead, Tom. I got a message for you.
Hi, this is Arnold. I'm back. What happened?
Shut up, Satan.
Tom.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Tom.
Mike.
Mike's not here.
Mike, who's
that? Oh, God, help me.
Okay.
Hey.
Bye, Tom.
Hey,
bye, Tom.
Shut up.
Bye, Tom.
You don't belong to either God or Satan.
Satan?
You're out there. You're in the middle, Tom.
He gets so loaded with this. Yes, talk when I'm talking again, Tom. Yes. Hello, what?
Hey, where's Mike? Where's Don at, Mike?
I don't know.
Hey, come back, Don, right
now. I'm confused.
Now.
You succeeded in making my brain turn to jelly.
Hey, Don, come back right now. Get Satan out of there now.
See, the thing is now, I'm not going to be pushing
Abra
around.
Cadabra.
I'm going to have a tard running the show.
Make Satan disappear.
I mean, some of you might think a tard is running the show right now anyway.
Yeah, do you think?
He said abracadabra.
Poof.
Abracadabra. Make Satan disappear. Hey, Don.
Hi, Tom.
It Hi, worked. Guys.
How are you, Tom?
What do you want, Tom?
Hey, where's Charlie at?
God.
Charlie!
Jesus.
No,
help!
Hey, Charlie!
It's help!
Help!
Okay, bye, Tom.
Hey,
break the glass!
Hey.
Bye, Tom.
Hey, guys, go to my website, TomGavin.com.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you deserve that.
We'll go right there, Tom.
All
right. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
This is Jeremy Coleman speaking for the Don and Mike Show. Happy Christmas and a Merry New Year from Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, and 98.1 The Peak, WPEK.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
Feliz Navidad.
News guy Buzz Burbank is absent for the very first time. And this is his reaction to the absence. Apparently, he had been drinking some fake stuff, and then a listener brought by some real absence. And this is what happened. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Buzz, before we get to Buzz Makes the Sexy Call for you.
Yes.
We have a surprise for you.
Another surprise.
Charlie, would you please bring in the bottle of real asthmith?
Oh,
God.
Absinthe. I know, words are hard.
Somebody brought by, I have it written down phonetically.
I know.
Absinthe.
We're bringing the guy in here right now. Hi, sir. Enter, there's your microphone right
Absinthe
up there.
Absinthe makes the heart grow fonder. Hi.
How's it going?
What is your name?
My name is Aaron Litt.
Aaron, where are you from?
I'm from Oakland, Virginia.
All right, thanks for coming by. Now, you got the real stuff for Buzz?
Real stuff for Buzz, unopened.
Oh, my God.
Let me take a peek. Now, Buzz, look how big that bottle is.
Yeah, I see that. Wow.
That looks real, doesn't it? As opposed
produced
to
the other... in the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Bought over the internet.
Nah, traditionally course. Distilled right. In the Czech Republic, only the very finest ingredients are used. And absinthe traditionally consumed with a small amount of sugar. And I'm just seeing if they've got anything with the wormwood in here. No, they don't have anything like that.
I will, let's...
Thujone is the other word for it.
What's that?
It's like Thujone. I don't know how to pronounce it, but you'll see that. It's got 10% of the highest allowed by law.
All right, well, let's give Buzz a little bit of that before we start this segment.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
Thujone is the wormwood? Yeah, yeah. It's basically it's the chemical in the wormwood.
It is mouthwash colored, and that's important.
So I went over and I said to Buzz during the break, I said, I'd be glad to drive you home. And I said, I know Joe would drive you home. And Buzz said...
Hi, Buzz.
Buzz said...
Is that a different smelling stuff?
Wow, that smells like hair tonic.
B- Buzz said,
he's right.
No, well, Marsha's coming to pick me up. And I said, oh, good. And as it turns out, it was my wife was the secret squirrel that...
Ratted Buzz out, huh?
Rita called or saw your wife today and mentioned that...
Informed her that I was not well. Now, sir, do you have experience consuming this product?
No, not at all.
You just had it, like, as a souvenir?
Basically, yeah, and that's why I didn't open it. I was kind of afraid to try it.
It really smells like something out of a barber shop, like something that... In an old-fashioned...
That they would put all those combs in?
Yeah, right. Like that blue jug. It smells a little licorice-y, but the overwhelming smell is alcohol and maybe like a little bit of like mentholatum.
All right, well, give it a swig there, Buzz. And
I don't know.
You, my friend, let me give you tickets to see David Bowie, Patriot Center, Sunday, September 7. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster and Ticketmaster.com.
Thank you very much.
That's nasty, a bad
face. Oh, you just did it.
Did you take a hit?
Yeah, you did.
And what's it taste like?
Nasty.
Nasty?
Like
nasty.
Furniture polish
removal. Oh, nasty. Wow.
So Buzz has had the fake stuff, which he's now chased with the real stuff. You, my friend, enjoy David Bowie.
Thank you, sir.
You are a great listener.
Good job.
You are a great listener. I do mean that. Thank you for coming by.
Good job.
We do appreciate it.
How you feeling?
Dizzy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, now, it'll take a while for the real stuff. For that swig to kick in, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe I should let the alcohol stuff wear off a little bit before enjoying the real stuff.
Yeah, I think maybe.
Why?
Yeah. You are.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think, you know, listen, we're only halfway through the show.
No.
I don't want this fun to end prematurely.
You're right. No. Let's pace ourselves.
So have just one more sip of the real stuff.
Of the real stuff?
Just one more sip.
Oh, it's gone. Someone's taken it.
Oh, no. They've taken it from you?
Perhaps it's best.
You know, I bet you're thirsty. How about this?
Mm-hmm.
I saw you had your Mountain Dew when I was over there.
I do.
Have some of the elixir.
Mountain Dew?
No. Have the elixir.
The
and then
real
chase,
stuff.
Chase it with the Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Right.
Here.
There you go. That's have a nice sip of...
Oh, you took a nice big slug there.
Stuff's pretty tasty.
Now you're going to chase it with your Mountain Dew?
Now have some Mountain Dew.
All right.
Because that'll balance it out, because that's full of caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
So he can fall down and shake.
I don't want to predict anything, but do you have a bucket in there, or do you have a trash can?
That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen, but I do have the presence of mind.
Right.
I do have the presence of mind to know that I have no business operating a motor vehicle, and I have no intention of doing so.
I'd like to try to do my latest record. I tried it last night.
Elvis.
Okay.
I don't know the words to it, so I can read it. If you give it up, just...
Oh, yes. You know,
time, for
it.
Time for Buzz Makes the Sexy Call for you to your
ready.
Mom. Let's see. Let's start with... how about Lou?
Lou!
On line number 5. Hey, Lou! Hello, Lou?
Is Lou gone?
Lou?
Hold on.
How do you do?
Lisa. Hold on a second. Let me see. Hold on a second. Who? Mother Denise? I can't figure this out. Can you figure this out? Can you see any of these names on this list?
Maybe this is more updated.
Maybe this is a newer list? All right, hold on. Let me just... Well, go with Lisa. The lady we just had on. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi, now, your mom... Did you give the information? Is your mom's name Marianne?
Yes, it is.
Got it. Here we go.
You got all the vital information on Marianne?
I got it. Lisa lives in Virginia, listens to us on 106.7 WJFK. Thank you for that.
Uh-huh.
And your mom lives in North Carolina. Now, is it your mom's birthday, anniversary? What holiday is it?
I'm sorry, it's not a holiday, but she's just, she's real athletic and real outgoing and everything. And her health has kind of gotten down, and her doctor has made her slow down, and she can't go hiking, and she's 69, and she's just really bummed and depressed, and she really could use, you know, I think just a nice sexy voice.
Can you tell us a little bit about your mom, about some of her more sensual qualities?
Well, yeah, I have 5 brothers, so she's had 6 kids, and she's always kept like 105-pound figure, and she's always, you know, been real proud of herself and real athletic and outgoing, and she's...
She have pretty eyes?
Beautiful.
What color?
Blue.
What color eyes?
Blue.
Blue. Do you have a nice tight ass?
No comment.
Yeah,
69 years old.
But she wore belly shirts, I swear, up until about 5 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And your mom, how is she?
Apartment. After six kids, I've seen pictures of her in high school where she was just outstanding, and I mean upstanding.
Mm. So your mom, even at 69, is a sexy, sexy lady.
Yes, she is.
You think she does it in the...
I think so, probably.
Wow. There you go again.
Her husband's always grabbing her, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of disgusting.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
incredible.
You bad little girl. Buzz, do you think you have enough information to call Marianne and wish her a happy day?
I think Lisa's mom's got it going on.
Hold on. Hold on there, please, Lisa.
This should be interesting.
Buzz makes the call for you. Let me dial it up, and Robbie, you get the mom's permission, please.
We have the name of Lisa's mom.
Marianne, Buzz. Marianne. We just said it. We just said it like 5 seconds ago.
Sorry, I missed that.
That's okay.
Marianne.
You want to take another sip before you go on?
No, I think I'm fine.
That's
sure.
One little sip of the green.
I don't know. It's a good idea.
Come on, Buzz. Just
have you reached your limit?
Take a sip, because it's going to take us a second to get this mom on the phone.
I think I've got a second.
You can kick back when it's time for the guy from Larry Sanders.
I'll let you know.
You know, Don, I never thought I'd say this. I think, for now, he's fine.
You think so?
Oh, he's really fine.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Like, you got a nice fire going?
Yeah.
Don't you want to stoke that fire to make sure that fire continues burning?
I think right now, this fire would last definitely till the end of the show.
You think?
My knowledge of alcohol? Absolutely.
See, maybe this is why I've always had problems with the stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
That I just never know when to quit.
Oh, you quit. You're very good at it.
I mean,
you're very responsible.
I mean,
I've
quit now.
You've had moments where you've gone, well,
I'll stoke it when it needs it.
I think I rest my case.
Hello, is this Marianne?
Yes, it is.
Marianne, hi. My name is Don, and this is my buddy Mike, and we
Hello,
do a radio
Marianne.
Show called The Don and Mike Show.
Yes, well, nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, ma'am. And we have your daughter, Lisa, on the line. Lisa?
Hey, Lisa.
Hi there. Now, Lisa told us a little bit about you, and... We've got a guy on the show. Lisa, I'm going to put you back on hold, honey.
Okay.
This might be a little hard for you to hear.
We've got a guy that just likes to make nice calls to nice people.
That's right.
At the request of their sons and daughters.
So much of shock radio today is vulgar cruelty.
That's right.
That we've decided to go in another direction. It was, why is your mom special? So, Marianne, this is from your daughter, Lisa. Here now is our friend, Buzz.
Marianne?
Yes.
I hear that Lisa's mom has got it going on.
Oh? What is this all about?
69. That's a nice age.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And?
I hear you're one sexy mama.
And that's my daughter talking?
That's right.
Oh, I've got to take her in the corner somewhere and talk to her.
Well, I think you should. But that's okay.
Yeah?
Because she's saying nice things about you.
Okay.
She's saying you're a beautiful woman.
Okay. I'm listening.
She's saying you have beautiful eyes.
Well, thank you.
Beautiful blue eyes.
Uh-huh.
Marianne?
Yes.
It's my pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you, I think.
And I want to wish you the very best.
Thank you.
Buzz, could you be a little sexier?
Are you talking to me?
No, he's talking to Buzz. Sorry about
that. Direction to Buzz.
Marianne, I want to share with you some very sexy...
Uh-oh.
Because you deserve it, baby.
Yeah.
Somehow she's kept her wonderful figure, Buzz.
I understand. You have kept yourself in very good shape.
Six kids will do that to you.
Good for you, Marianne.
Buzz, hey.
Yeah.
You might want to work it in your own way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, when you wouldn't be as vulgar as me, but, you know.
I can take care of you. And I can take care of your very...
I'm quite happy, thank you.
You're happy?
Yes, I am.
You know, Marianne.
Yes.
You could always be happier.
I'm going to kill my daughter.
Oh, there's no need for that kind of talk, Marianne. I can take care of you.
I don't know if my heart could take this.
Oh, wow. I think you'd survive. I'd take care of you, Marianne. 69 is a very nice age.
God! Oh, I'm dying here. I'm dying here. I'm going to say that officially is the end of the phone call.
That's the end. Marianne, your daughter wanted us to just give you a nice call to cheer you up.
Lisa?
Oh, hold on. Let me get Lisa here. Hey, Lisa?
Lisa, how do you think
you, girl.
How do you think that went, Lisa?
I think you got her laughing. I think that was the main thing.
There you go.
Lisa?
Thank you, Bob.
Listen now, Lisa, you've won $100.
Yoo-hoo!
Cool. And ma'am?
Yes?
You've won a Halloween mask.
I could use it.
Provided by AnyMask.com, the kind of mask, your kind of mask store. Go to www.anymask.com.
Okay.
And if you wouldn't mind, Lisa, nice talking to you. Thank you for listening.
Okay.
I tell you what, Marianne, if you wouldn't mind, we're doing a little evaluation on our friend, Buzz, who just did this bit with us. How would you describe the overall call that you received from Buzz?
Amusing.
Amusing, that's a good word.
Did it cheer you up?
Well, I didn't need it, but it was a nice added ingredient to the day.
On any level, Marianne, did it turn you on?
Does it what?
Did it turn you on?
Not in the least.
Marianne, are you having a little trouble understanding Buzz?
Would it surprise you to hear that the man that made that call to you is more than slightly inebriated right now?
It wouldn't surprise me,
though. God bless you. Yeah, we're doing a little experiment with Buzz today, and we're having a lot of fun.
I mean, we were going to do this bit with him today anyway, but then this bottle of stuff showed up.
And he's drinking that absinthe. That's what he's drinking today. We're having just a little experiment.
Well, tie him up and put him away somewhere.
Marianne, you tie me up.
And before we let Marianne go,
yes.
I think it's time to toast to Marianne's.
Yes, have a toast, Marianne.
Marianne.
He's been a very good sport, and he's drinking to you now, Marianne.
Oh, take it easy now.
I will, take Marianne. It easy. For you, baby.
For you, baby.
Marianne, you're a wonderful sport. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice talking to you. Hold on, please.
Bless we'll you.
Send you a mask.
hold
on just a second.
That's rough.
Oh, man.
That'll cheer up even. Oh, Jesus. Buzz.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Funny, ain't it?
Oh, yo, God damn, you don't know, Buzz.
Oh, man.
I mean, sadly, you may never know.
Yeah. Probably.
You may never know. You'll wake up tomorrow and you have to do a hey, what happened thing.
I don't know. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you feel any different?
God.
I mean, after the real stuff.
Hey,
I mean,
what happened?
I don't know.
You don't because you're just...
Because I'm such a mess to begin with. I wouldn't have an idea.
You don't see the colors or the rabbits or anything? Or?
No. No, not yet.
You'll let us know.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you to everybody that was on hold there. We only had time for one today.
Wow.
It was that lady. It was Buzz Makes the Sexy Call for You, which is a crazy, kooky, copyrighted feature of the show. Buzz, you, of course, as always, have an open microphone to jump in at any time.
You don't want that.
I want it more today than any other day.
I think maybe one little sip before we go to commercial?
If you say so.
Just one. So here you go. Just
nice one. A nice good one.
There you go.
Very good.
You're putting a nice dent in that.
Merry Christmas, Buzz.
Merry Christmas.
Can you hold up? Do you have the bottle in there so we can see how much you've had?
I do.
it's almost half gone.
Not that much.
He's having a good time.
About that much.
A good old time.
About that much. Words are hard.
They are hard. Though.
Words are hard.
69 is a good age.
You said that to her about five times.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. It's wonderful.
Sorry, that's why you're here.
Right.
That's why you'll be drinking every day now on the show.
Cautionary tale to everyone. Don't drink.
Wow. There you go.
Don't drink.
See what it does to you?
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Christmas.
At the end of every year.
Oh, everywhere is Christmas. At the end of every year.
I've lived that.
Everywhere is Christmas. At the end of every year.
come Santa Claus, here come Santa Claus.
Expertly aged, like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
Buzz is still wacky on the absent, and Don and Mike ask Buzz to do the next interview for them, and this is Buzz interviewing while feeling the effects of absent. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Well, Buzz, we're just padding now, waiting for this guy. This guy buddies with John Cusack. He played the dean in Old School.
Very good. Which is, in Old School, is a pretty unusual role for him. He normally doesn't play that kind of role.
A movie that I like is The Family Man with Nicolas Cage and Tia Leone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Christmas Carol type thing. He plays the neighbor. And we like him from Larry Sanders. But he's in Scary Movie 3, and the deal is that he's one of these guys now that's famous enough that they just give radio stations, I think, 5 minutes with him.
Ah.
And I believe our 5 minutes start right now. Let's say hi to Buzz. His name again is?
Jeremy Piven.
Hi, Jeremy. How are you?
Good, man. Who is that?
That is
our newsman, Jeremy, and we're performing a little experiment with
him. I'm sorry,
today.
Dude. He is drinking absinthe today.
Yeah.
On the show, and he's a big fan. We're big fans.
True.
You're in Scary Movie 3.
Yes.
Jeremy Piven, mm-hmm. That's how you pronounce his name.
Right.
Also, Old School, as I mentioned. I liked you in The Family Man.
And, of course, we all liked you in Larry Sanders also.
Oh, amen.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yeah, you guys have done your homework. Good.
Well, you know, it's not doing the homework. You're one of those guys, when you see you on TV, at first they go, oh, that's the guy from Larry Sanders. That's the guy. And here, we even got this tape.
I'm the head writer.
Tell me again.
I'm the head writer.
Tell me again.
I'm the head writer.
I'm the head writer.
That's... Oh, my God.
Don't you like it when we can bring out a clip like that?
Yeah.
That's genius.
Now, not only,
there it is.
Not only is this guy in this movie with all these other people, Scary Movie 3 that opens this weekend, that's what you're pushing, right?
Indeed, yes.
Yeah. He's also friends with John Cusack.
Cool.
He's been in a lot of John Cusack movies, including Serendipity. But the thing that I found the most interesting about Jeremy Piven, and then I'll turn it over to Buzz for the rest of the interview.
Oh, my God.
Was that when you were coming up the ranks before you got the Larry Sanders thing, when you were on the show Coach, when you were on Drew Carey, when you were on Grace Under Fire, and when you were on Ellen, each of those different shows you played a character named Spence Kovac. How could it? Is that some kind of joke that this one name was given to four separate characters on four separate shows?
No, that is that's a glitch in a bio that needs to be taken care of. What happened was when I was doing Ellen back in the day, I believe Jamie Tarsus, who was kind of running the network at the time, thought wouldn't it be fun to have all these shows film in Vegas and each. You know, like my character from Ellen would go and enter into one episode of each of those shows. So that happened once. Not even that exciting.
So it wasn't a running deal then.
All right, never mind.
Phone rang and you can't find it, and the joke is on you.
Larry Sanders, you're great on Larry Sanders. Buzz, you're a big Larry Sanders fan. Why don't you ask Jeremy a couple of questions you guys want?
Jeremy, we're going to turn you over now to our drunken newsman, Buzz Burbank.
Jeremy, I apologize for my condition, but I want to tell you that I love the moment on Larry Sanders.
If I could just interrupt,
yes?
I think you need...
Have another sip.
Another sip,
just
okay.
Before you ask your question, just another sip.
My boss insists.
Pardon us there, Jeremy.
Right, I love the moment on Larry Sanders when you were asked if you loved your job and you said no. That was a great moment. And
was that you, Jeremy?
Was that an improv you're saying?
Was that you in that scene?
Really, I don't love my job.
Yeah,
right. As the head writer on Larry Sanders.
You know what? That job was unbelievable because that show was so brilliantly executed, and Shandling knew that world so well, so it was an honor. And
well, you're
going
to have to tell him you're talking about a scene,
right?
And I've been doing it my whole life, and I'm really. Truly honored to be a working actor, so I do love my job, yes.
I was disappointed when you left Larry Sanders. Why did you leave the show?
I left the show at the time because I had an offer to do a movie called PCU in which I could do the lead, and Larry Sanders was brilliant. The problem was my role originally, they couldn't decide between me and Wallace Langham, the other writer with me.
Right.
So that every week they would just split our lines up, and the show was brilliant, but there was really... nowhere to go on that show.
Right.
I did 3 years. It was the best TV show I've ever done.
Sure.
And I wanted to kind of explore films, and they were nice enough to let me go. And that's kind of the way it went down.
Well, Jeremy, maybe you can't tell this. We are giant fans.
Right.
We're a little obsessed on you. I even watch Serendipity, and you know,
there you go.
I mean, I watch that without my wife. So you got to know I'm a fan of John.
And your role in Old School was kind of you haven't done a lot of roles like that,
and
it was broad comedy, obviously, but it was a bit of a stretch for you, wasn't it?
The way that I've actually never played the villain,
right.
And certainly never kind of like really buttoned down conservative dean of a university. I mean, so that was I just felt like that would have been fun. I read the script, I could tell that it was just hysterical, and I wanted to be a part of
it. Was that a fun set to be on?
It was a fun set. Unfortunately, I didn't have as much fun as the rest of the boys because Todd, I can't believe that I'm blanking on my man's name all of a sudden.
Mm.
The director of Old School wrote the characters for Will Ferrell and Luke Wilson and Vince Vaughn really, you know, wrote into their strengths and did a brilliant job of writing it and directing it. I was kind of there to play the, you know, the foil. So I didn't quite have as much fun as those boys, but I had a great time.
Did you have any contact with Lisa Remedy? You know, the girl from King of Queens?
I don't.
Mm.
Oh, because she was in that movie
just as well.
She was. I did have a one or two moments with her. She's a really sweet woman.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. Yeah.
Why, you have a crush on her?
No. We've had a bit of a falling out.
No.
What happened?
It's a long story.
We don't have time. You're busy. Let me just say that we want to plug this again. Scary Movie 3 opens this weekend. Jeremy Piven is in it. And Jeremy, now if you have just about a minute. Wow. I mean, all this stuff he's been on. And really,
you are the definition of a working actor, Jeremy.
We're fans. Hey,
thank you. Well, that's a beautiful thing to be known as.
I know, yes, it is.
Jeremy, I admire you. I apologize for my condition. I just want to remind you that we've presidential candidates.
Buzz, I think you need another sip.
Have another sip before you ask.
You are sounding a bit.
And we appreciate you taking part.
Buzz, take a sip. Okay. Have a sip, though.
A sip before you ask the questions, Buzz.
I had the pleasure of smelling Buzz's studio. It smells like the Twizzler factory.
I'm thirsty. Anybody else thirsty?
I'm thirsty. I'm going to take a drink of my water.
I'm going to have some of my diet soda.
Oh, Buzz, just chug back a little bit of that.
One thing.
Thirsty myself. Yes, Jeremy.
Like the perfect crowd for Scary Movie 3, which opens today.
Jeremy, we got you plugged in.
The hook funny. You know that, don't you?
We'll be there, Jeremy, for Scary Movie 3. We'll be there.
I mean, me, Queen Latifah, Eddie Griffin.
Well, there you go.
Nielsen, Ja Rule, Charlie Sheen.
I hear it.
Scary Movie 3 is off the hook funny.
It's great if you're on absinthe.
If you're 13 years old, if you're 33, 53, 113.
Right.
Are you aware of the effects?
Absence, take 5 sheets of high-power blotter acid, whatever you need.
Okay.
Funny.
Right, there you go.
God bless you, Jeremy. Yes,
at some point, I'm feeling like there's a monitor that's going to come in from the fine Movie 3 people and make the bombing stop. You know, during the premiere of Scary Movie the other night, when people were slapped.
Jeremy,
would you stop with the blood?
We want everyone to see your movie, Scary Movie 3.
No, you don't understand. I'm saying while we were, first of all, people were laughing and literally,
right?
Their pleasure glands were frappéd.
Of course, of course they were.
Literally had an occurring. I've simulated it during the Larry Sanders Show.
I don't.
Lydia Remedy, this is where she hated you.
Forgive me, I'm inebriated.
You're what?
I'm inebriated.
What I can't believe at this point is no one from Dimension Films is breaking in.
I know you're dying.
No one to save you, Jeremy.
You're dying and waiting for that to happen, but it's not.
Yeah. With you. During the premiere of Scary Movie 3, which comes out this weekend,
yes.
Is off the hook.
Okay.
Sorry, we need to wrap up the interview.
We will. You know, we love you, Jeremy. Is that it?
Hey, good luck to you, gentlemen.
Car.
I think he's blowing you off, Buzz.
Buzz,
that's not polite.
Buzz, I think you're in it. Hello?
Oh, jeez.
He's gone.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was a handful.
He seemed nice.
A great segment, though.
Bad.
Yeah, it is.
So I am a fan of his.
Yeah. Me too.
He's kind of... I mean, Buzz is just a little loaded.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was a little uptight. I don't think he's familiar with the the glare of the spotlight.
Apparently not.
No, he sure didn't want to promote Scary Movie 3, though.
Yeah. That's always fun.
Yeah.
They only wanted it to go 3 or 4 minutes.
3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
What was the total time?
We had a minute over 10.
Yeah,
right?
About 10.
Didn't seem like that to me.
Yeah, I know. I think you did a great job. A little trouble with the sequence of questions with the numbers.
Yeah.
But other than that, you did great.
Thank you.
How you feeling?
Good.
Would you like another sip?
No.
Come on.
Please. Think of all the people that have just gotten in their cars now and don't even know what's happening.
Got a little bit more entertaining to do.
I hope those people are more stable than I, sober than I am.
These folks who are joining us now, and let me just say, this is why you can never miss a moment of the show. It's like 1 out of 10,000, man, we hit a home run.
That's right.
And today was that day.
I like Jeremy Piven. Sorry that it went that way.
Buzz is drinking a combination of both real and fake absinthe.
Mostly fake.
Mostly fake. He had just a swig or two of the real stuff, and then the other stuff he had, we've discerned, is a much higher octane Sambuca. Yeah.
That's the stuff with that wormwood in it.
Yeah, but you say fake, I mean, you should know that it's still over 100 proof.
It is
indeed. Not anything you want to...
And Buzz is feeling very, as I would say, festive today.
Yes, and he loves Jeremy Piven.
He does indeed.
He's good.
He does. Well, who doesn't, Rob?
Exactly. And he's really sad that that segment went the way that it went.
I am. I like the guy.
But don't feel bad, Buzz, because a lot of times those guys are...
Yeah.
Don't worry about
That's too bad.
That's okay. You're a happy guy.
And yes, I am. He certainly got some plugs in for his movie.
Yes, he did. Scary Movie 3.
What was that again?
Scary Movie 3.
When does it open, Buzz?
Oh, soon.
The theater's near you. Oh, it opens tomorrow, Buzz.
Oh, that's soon.
Do you know what a nice little fact is?
What?
We've got the news coming up soon.
Oh, I know. Jesus. And that's why we have to keep him drinking.
I agree.
We've got like another segment or so before the news.
It'll be good.
Fantastic.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Oh, holy crap. We can't get into this right now. We got to take it. But we'll take your call. Hello.
What?
Hey, Don. You made me do something I haven't done in over 43 years, and that's all.
Hey, congratulations, sir.
This is crazy. I mean, this whole thing, I think the guy you just interviewed was kind of, you know, stuck on himself. But before that, I had to pull off the road. This is ridiculous.
Very good.
Yeah, well, maybe the guy was a and maybe it took a Buzz in his current altered state to bring that out.
You never know.
Because if it had been you and I mean, I'm a fan. I would have kissed his ass.
Hey, what's the deal? Are we having fun? That's the important part, right?
Way to go, Buzz. And you told off a semi-major star today.
I like the guy.
I know you do.
I know.
Jeremy
Piven.
We're going to break. Let's toast him.
One little toast to Jeremy Piven.
Jeremy Piven.
It's almost empty, his glass. It's almost empty.
A toast.
Cheers.
What?
Cheers. Who are we toasting to, Buzz? What's the name of that
What's
actor?
What's his name, Buzz?
We're toasting Jeremy Piven.
But now you got to have the drink. Here we go.
Yeah, well, I have the drink.
Now, get one more. Here we go. Ready? Here we go.
Mm. Yeah. Such a task.
All right.
Ah, that's good.
Very good. Tasty, isn't it?
Is it time for the news?
Not yet.
Okay. Not yet, but more, one more fun thing. Everything is fun today. Yeah. I've had nothing to drink.
But
I've had
kind of it's kind of rubbing off on both of us, I think.
Yeah, it's a goofy factor.
You don't have an excuse. You know, at least with me, it's probably something that's still in my system.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Christmas is not about being with people you like. It's about being with your family.
The Don and Mike Show.
It just doesn't get any better than this.
I don't want a lot more.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
With absinthe flowing through his veins, Buzz does a little singing, and then he wants to do the news. It means a lot to Buzz. He's a professional, and he is going to do the news. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Come on, Buzz.
Cheers.
Cowboy up. Cheers.
Cheers.
Now, you got a little bit left there.
Yeah.
Let's finish it up.
Come on.
Here we go.
I don't know.
Down the home stretch. There you go. Yeah.
How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm fine.
You're in a different stage now, aren't you?
What?
Yeah, he's in an out of it stage now.
Alcohol makes people ugly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not you.
Don't drink.
Is there anything you'd like to say to everybody to just get anything off your chest?
Don't drink.
It don't make you ugly, though,
Buzz. Just a mess. No, I'm pretty much the same person, only slower. Yeah.
You want to sing? I'll sing with you.
No. No, get me a different song.
You know, he wants a different song, though.
This is one that you... All right, I'll get something else you like.
You know, so, Bugs, is there anything you'd like to request?
Alice Long is okay.
How about that?
It was honestly...
Are you okay? Oh, was something coming up there for
no,
a second?
No, I'm fine. I'm really fine.
Would you like White Rabbit?
It was on a CD you
gave
me.
Oh, God, yes.
He'd like the White...
I don't know if we have White Rabbit.
That's all right.
I know Buzz was... He had changed states because I saw him in the hall.
Well, you know, here's the funny thing. We're all slurring now.
Yeah, he's paved the way.
Yes.
But I said, Buzz, how are you doing? He says, I'm quite drunk. I said, well, you'll want to have a glass of water before bed. He said, yes, and an aspirin.
They couldn't say aspirin. Yeah.
What was that guest that we had just a moment ago? What was his name?
Jeremy Piven. He's very good, but he was sort of uptight.
He was.
I'm sorry about that.
Yes.
And you had to ask him questions, didn't you?
I did, but he wouldn't answer.
He wouldn't answer.
No. What are you selecting for Buzz to sing, Don?
Well, I don't know if he's going to sing it.
Okay.
I like it, though.
Depends on what it is.
I think it kind of fits the mood.
All right. Very good.
You know, I mean, we're festive. We're happy. Now, this was not on the CD that you made me of songs that we both like.
Not our love CD.
So I'm guessing here. I know you know it, but
it's pretty.
And you do like the nightlife.
I do. I love the nightlife.
Go, Buzz. Please don't talk about love
tonight. I like the boogie.
He just sat there.
He needs the hook.
All right, well, wait till he gets to the hook. All right. Okay, here it comes.
We can certainly pad up until the time when Buzz sings the hook, Don.
Please I'll do. Tell you, this this girl who sings this song, Alicia Bridges, saw her on one of Where Are They Now type shows.
How'd she look?
P.I.G.
Ooh, really?
I mean, not that she was beautiful
to
begin with, but now she has a true white trash quality about her with her dyed hair, big fat.
That's
ladies and gentlemen, Buzz Burbank.
I like the nightlife. I like to boogie.
On the disco,
Yeah.
Is it time for the news?
There's no
Not
way.
Yet, Buzz.
There's no way he would get that
He
one.
Knows the words, though.
He knows the words?
Yeah.
Oh, do you know the words to this, Buzz? I'd love to hear you sing this.
Rubber Band Man?
Yeah. By the Spinners.
By the Spinners.
All right. Let me do a thing here, then. I'll take it. It's 6 minutes until the hour, everybody. Happy Thursday. S-H-I Thursday.
Don't abuse chemicals.
Now, Rubber Band Man. Here, everybody. Sing it for you. Mike Elston Band.
Hand me down my walking cane. Hand me down my hat.
Time for that.
You and me, we're going down.
Catch the latest sound.
Guaranteed
to blow your mind. So high you can't come down.
Here you go now, Buzz.
Hey now, come around the rubber band man.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. Rob Z didn't sing that one.
I am so sorry. I apologize to everyone.
Don't apologize, Buzz. Okay, we love you, and this is maybe your greatest moment on the show.
This is terrific, really.
Yeah, this is one... For my parents.
Oh, come on, Buzz.
No.
No,
I'm fine.
Don't go in that direction.
No, I'm not down. Mm-hmm. I'm fine.
All right.
Not all that proud.
Buzz,
it's fun.
All right.
What do we do here? We have fun.
We have fun.
That's it.
Great entertainment. And the reason it's so funny is because you're the last person it would be expected from.
In fact, you're the only one that would make it this funny.
Mr. Straight Guy.
Yes.
So, Buzz?
Yes, it's done.
Now, come on. I know you know this one.
Been played at every wedding for the last 25 years.
I know you know it. Earlier today, we tried to call this down. Ladies and gentlemen. The Mike Elston Band.
On the south side of Chicago. It's the baddest part of town.
If you go down there, you better just beware. That bad, bad Leroy Fine. Leroy. He's got trouble. Stands about 6'4". Downtown ladies. Call him Tree Chop Lover.
I don't know. Whatever.
Okay, before we take a call,
yes.
How about another sip?
One more sip, just to finish up what you got there, Buzz.
You're the boss.
All right, there we go. Go for it.
And Robbie, while you cue that one up, Robbie.
Want to save one last one for the last little sip?
Well, I've...
Okay.
Rob has selected one.
I think you'll be able to sing
Heart.
But before you sing this one, how about...
Yes, Don.
Hey, buddy. How about a little acapella?
Oh, no.
They're coming to take me away.
Please.
Because you do sing that when you're not drunk.
You want to start a play?
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyway, and now the days got long and long, and now I see I've gone completely out of my mind.
And
they're coming to take me away, ha! They're coming to take me away, ho! Ha! To the funny part where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men. No, like winkle coats, and they're coming to take me away.
There you go,
bravo!
That's your signature song, right
take
there.
Take a deep breath, Buzz.
Sure, geez.
Charlie, you get some good photos for the website.
He sure did.
WJFK.com. Just click on the Don and Mike icon.
You're saying hi to Charlie.
Approve those trades for me and everything will be fine.
Approve what?
The trades. The NFL trades.
Oh, the trades.
Oh,
you're getting happy about that.
I'm going to ask about that.
You beat me pretty handily.
Yeah. Thank you. Very proud of that.
All right, Buzz.
Ready to sing a little Carol King there,
Carol King? Come on, Buzzy.
I feel the earth move under my feet.
It's like Shatner-esque.
I feel my heart.
Mr. Tambourine Man.
Oh, geez.
And
these pictures will haunt me forever, won't they, Charlie?
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Get a picture of him saying that name of that actor that we had interviewed a few moments ago. Who's that, Buzz?
Jeremy.
God. Oh, mercy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, baby.
This is going to go on my permanent record.
Yes, and wonderfully so, Buzz.
Don't sweat it, though, Buzz.
Special day.
I'm sorry, Charlie.
What are you sorry to Charlie for?
He's apologizing
for being inebriated.
You're fine.
Now, what Buzz had earlier today was not absinthe.
No.
It was an Americanized version.
Very which strong.
A liqueur.
Right.
Sambuca-ish. It smelled like licorice.
Licorice flavored.
And then one of our listeners came down, one of the good guys came down with a bottle of the real stuff. And Buzz did a little hit on that.
They gave me one shot of that and then they took it away.
And now he's
Took it away.
Now he's back and
God,
he's just on the other stuff.
Yeah, but it's fine, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's just fine.
It's fine. And this should be evidence to everybody that alcohol is not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Poison, and you shouldn't.
That's right.
Right. That's right.
You see what it's done to me?
Yeah, we hate it, Buzz.
Yeah. We all hate it. Yeah. We're all against.
Rightly
it.
So.
Yeah, and none of us drink or
good
party.
For you. God
none
bless
of us
you.
Drink or party at all,
God
Buzz.
Bless you.
I can't believe, you know, that Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart song, you gave that to me. That was like that was one of those songs.
Hey, remember his condition, Dom. Let it go. Come
Alice
on, let
Long.
It go.
Alice Long, that was it. That was the
I wonder what she's doing tonight. That's their real song. That's their big hit.
All right, listen, you watch it. You watch it, mister. Hold on.
Okay.
You getting something else out for him to sing?
I'm looking for I wonder what she's doing tonight.
Yeah, I always do.
Robbie, I know we've got
it.
Yeah,
it's under I.
I know we got it. Hold on a second.
Under I for I always.
What are your plans for tonight, Buzz? What are you going to be doing?
I want to sleep. I want to sleep. I want to sleep a lot.
You're going to sleep a lot tonight?
Yeah.
What time you figure you'll be going to bed after the show?
About 8.
About 8.
About 8 o'clock.
About 8.
And dream of that fabulous Hollywood actor we interviewed today.
Jeremy Piven.
Oh, fun, yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Who are you calling?
My wife.
Oh, God.
I want to know.
I'm sorry, Frida.
I know. Buzz, why apologize?
Well, you know, I've made a mess of myself.
I'm just curious how it is. Oh, we can't find that
I apologize to my parents, to my friends, to the people I went to high school with.
To my doctor,
my daughter.
I'm just curious. I want to find out exactly how she sold you out to your wife.
Hello.
Hi, baby.
Hi, Frida.
Hi, PP.
Hey, when you were, how did you, you had to, you know, just put the nails in Buzz's coffin. You had to tell Marcia that the Buzz was having some absinthe today. How did she take it?
She said her quote was, sure.
He's insured.
He's insured.
So if something happened to his wife, that was comforting for her.
Was that your burp, Buzz?
Yeah, I think it was.
That's pretty rare for you.
Sorry.
All right. Baby,
so,
I love you.
She has my attitude.
What?
That I appreciate. What can you do except insure them? And then, you know, if they, you know, have a small accident and, you know, you're...
Baby, Did you hear the interview that Buzz did? Buzz, who did you interview?
Jeremy Piven.
I heard that. Buzz, I think you've been doing wonderfully, but I was a little bit disappointed when I didn't get the sexy call, that you were afraid to give me a sexy call.
If I didn't think I would get in some kind of trouble, I'd make that call any time.
Don't worry, Buzz. You got a pass today. Go ahead.
Talk a little dirty to Frida.
Sexy call,
Frida,
my wife?
Yeah.
Frida, you are beautiful. You are hot. That's really all I have to say.
Well,
beautiful, you're hot.
You never get in trouble telling me that.
Well, cool.
Okay.
Hasn't there always been a little something between your wife and Buzz anyway? Hasn't there always been a little energy?
Yeah.
Frida's always lovely.
He's
a lucky man. He's always been Frida's favorite.
Yeah. Frida is a lucky man?
No, you're a lucky man for having Frida.
Oh, okay.
She's a lovely woman.
I know she is, Buzz.
Yeah,
beautiful.
And I know how to handle a drunk.
God bless you.
Yeah, right.
All right, baby.
I'm sorry, Frida.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
I'm sorry to everyone.
Bye. Don't be sorry, Buzz.
Buzz, all right. You've brought people a lot of joy today. Don't forget that.
You got anything? Because I'll sing along with you. I'm sober, but you got anything you could cowboy up with?
Is it time for the news?
No, it's time for another drink.
Have another sip.
Okay. It's almost time for the news.
Don wants to sing with you.
Ooh. Well, I want to help you because you wanted to hear.
All right, have the sip.
I wonder what she's doing tonight by Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart.
If I told her that I love her, she won't stay.
Now I wish I was drunk.
Come on, Buzz.
When I said I want to be your man, because a friend put a
hair down. I don't remember the word.
Don't sing it when he gets in the hook. Here it comes. Here we go, Buzz.
And now I wonder.
You wonder what, Buzz?
What she's doing tonight.
Hut.
And now I wonder what she's doing tonight.
She's with Jeremy Piven.
Oh,
I wonder what she's doing tonight.
Apologize for being flat.
Don't apologize. Don't apologize. Buzz. One call for you?
Oh, good.
I'd
love a call right
here
about now.
Go. Don and Mike, hello.
Buzz, I know what you are doing tonight.
Jorge.
I have waited a long time for you to get this drunk, Buzz.
Jorge, tonight is your night.
Sing me a song, Buzzy.
Oh, man. I'm all sung out, Jorge.
He's all sung out.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Hey, you've got me at the disadvantage.
I've got you right where I want you, Robert.
Finally, at long last. There it is.
All right, goodbye, Jorge.
Goodbye, Don.
God, can we take a break?
You waiting, Buzzy?
All right. See you, buddy.
It's been a long time since we heard from Jorge.
You know, and a nice little rendition of the I'm a Little Teapot song.
You gotta love that.
Really.
Yeah. Okay, are you ready for this? Now, this is normally the time we would go to the news part of the program.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You really?
I'm ready. I've got good news tonight. I'm looking forward to this.
Good news tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. Well then, hold on, Buzz. People still want to talk
what is
to you.
It, Don?
Hello, Kyle.
Yes.
Kyle. Yeah, all these calls say for Buzz.
Go, Kyle.
Yes, I want to thank you all for getting me through rush hour traffic. And hearing Buzz drunk is really funny right now.
See, Buzz, you're making people happy.
Bless you, Kyle. Here's Jed. Jed, you're on with Buzz.
Jed Clampett.
Jed. Yeah, hey, did you guys notice Buzz has got a little Arnold Schwarzenegger thing going several times? He's apologize.
Yeah, I'm very sorry, Buzz.
Very good.
I like it.
All right,
it's
all right.
Another good one.
Okay,
everybody loves you, Buzz, especially today. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I have a warning for Buzz.
What's the warning, sir?
You cannot smoke any weed, Buzz. drinking is really, really dangerous.
I think you can. You don't have to worry about that.
God
tonight,
forbid.
Sir.
Not tonight. Yeah. Hello. Not tonight.
That's right. Not tonight.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I'm sorry, man.
What?
I'm sorry.
What?
I'm just sorry, man.
He's mocking you,
what he's doing, Buzz.
All right, whatever. You've apologized a lot.
I have.
There's no reason.
I don't want to let people down.
No
need to apologize.
All
you brought
right,
people
man.
Happiness, you, Buzz. That's
a good
thing.
You've not let anybody down.
Good.
You've made us
buzz a little. And you know, I know it's all been fun today, but strangely enough, I am so looking forward to the last part of the show.
I don't get that. Tell us where we highlight, Buzz.
The news with Jeremy Piven.
And I know that a lot of times we jump in and we pepper the news with our comments.
Go ahead.
Because it's, you know, it's our show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Today, perhaps, we'll get a little of the editorial comment from Buzz.
Yeah, I think we lay low.
Oh, yeah. You know, rather than us commenting on what we think about the stories, we'll ask Buzz his opinion.
Bitterness, you'll hear.
Jesus. Oh, yeah, baby.
You know, he was really
trying that time.
I know. I really want to do this.
All right,
you're going to do it.
And now on Absinthe, here is Buzz.
So tired.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. It was a lovely story, and we told it so well. The story of how Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher were planning to get married. We even spared you the part about how that 70s show dude got down on one knee and they both had tears in their eyes when she said yes. They don't get the Don and Mike show in Los Angeles, so Demi heard it on the Rick Dees program, of all places, and then she called him, Rick Dees, to say that it's not true. She says the story started in the tabloids and got repeated so much it was picked up by the mainstream media. But
first, let me,
Don.
You must see, you know, it's too bad.
Yes?
It's not, it'll never be television.
Right.
But you have to see Buzz.
He's trying very hard.
Trying so hard. He's really struggling.
I care and
struggle
I take
on,
this seriously.
Buzz.
Struggle
yeah.
on.
Buzz,
I do.
I also want to point out.
What's that, Don?
That at this point, I believe what you're saying is.
Yeah?
Demi Moore calls the disc jockey.
Called Rick Dees.
Calls Rick Dees
right.
and says that they're not engaged.
Says it's not happening.
Then you go back to my original thought that the whole thing is a plan for the show Punk.
A scam. For Punk, yeah.
And
exactly. Demi says the story. Yes, Don.
If you'll give us just one more moment.
Oh, please.
You did mention the name.
No, go ahead.
Rick Dees.
Yeah.
It's time for today's Rick Dees moment.
Oh, good.
And here to play Rick Dees and tell us what he heard. Buzz, are you okay?
I'm fine, thank you.
No, you really were just leaning over.
I could use a nap right about now.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Are you serious that you could go to sleep?
Oh, I easily.
If you think you could.
No.
Could you?
Could you? No, I really care about this. I want to do this. I do.
Now I'm curious, what's the Rick Dees moment? I'm going
to go. Yeah,
Rob, the Rick Dees moment today.
I'll keep it brief, but he had what sounded like a weekend disc jockey in with him, and because I don't remember his name, we'll just call him Buzz. He
says, his name was Brian Whitman.
That's what it was, Brian Whitman, because I called you right after I heard it. You know what Brian Whitman is doing this weekend? He is selling top-end Platinum Plus cookware. And do you know what?
What?
I bought some. Ellen Kay says, is it nonstick? He says, Ellen, it is beyond nonstick. It is high-end cookware.
Sure.
And you can see Brian selling it this weekend in the parking lot.
That's today's Rick Dees moment.
That's his charitable thing for the other DJs, right?
Bless Rick Dees promoting a disc jockey who was selling non-stick cookware somewhere.
Why do I think after the show's over, he says, come into my bed.
And now once again, here's Buzz.
Well, Demi says the story about their marriage got started in the tabloids and got repeated so much it was picked up by the mainstream media. But Demi says the story is completely made up. She says... She doesn't know who made it up. I'm so proud of this stuff. I'm sorry to screw it up.
That's You're okay. not screwing it up, Buzz.
Maybe it's because he's suing her for $10 million. Maybe it's because he's calling her a fat, violent alcoholic.
Is anyone listening?
Maybe it's because he's living with Jim Neighbors. In any event, Liza Minnelli has now filed for divorce from the lovely and talented David Guest.
The who?
Lovely and talented David Guest.
Who?
You know, David Guest.
No, but he's lovely and what?
He's talented.
Come on. He's lovely and what?
He's talented.
And who was on the Larry Sanders Show?
I don't know.
He's lovely and talented.
Yes, he is. Jeremy Piven.
This is Liza Minnelli.
Hi, Liza.
Don and Mike. How can I say this?
Well, I don't know.
Are a gay.
I like it when you talk back to the tape.
That's
I never
fun.
Do that.
That is fun. It lasted for 16 months, for those of you who said it wouldn't. Michael Jackson introduced the two with him as the best man at the wedding. What could possibly have gone wrong? Liza, who's back in rehab, has issued this statement. I hoped that the end of my marriage would be handled with mutual respect and dignity,
Well, live and learn.
And it probably sounded just like that when she said it.
Something like that.
Liza probably sounds like that a lot.
I feel like Liza now. Fred Rerun Barry is dead. That's what's happening now.
Don't laugh about that, Buzz.
He's dead at the age of 52, he is. It was a full life. He didn't just star in TV's What's Happening, which was based on the movie Cooley High. Those were his drug days, too. He later starred in the TV sequel What's Happening Now and was married 6 times to 4 women.
You know what he's doing? Have you noticed? He's just locked on. He's locked on to me.
I know. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yeah. I like the eye contact.
I love you, man.
I love you too, Buzz. Keep it going. It's a sad thing. Fred Barry's dead.
Fred Rerun Barry later starred in the TV sequel What's Happening Now and was married 6 times to 4 women. After some mall experience.
He was married 6 times to...
6 times to 4 women.
Okay.
His words are hard. After some mall experiences, he became a Baptist minister. He was also on Scrubs and VH1 recently for I Love the 70s. And he was in the movie Dickie Roberts, former child star. I apologize to everyone.
Don't apologize, Buzz.
Sorry.
Need to, Buzz.
Don't, Buzz. This is,
Fred.
Let me just go to the phone. People will tell you. This is probably
going
to be the most memorable show that we've done all year.
Yeah.
No, Buzz, come on, really. Now, hold on.
Career.
These are on-screen calls. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I just tuned in. What's going on with Buzz?
What is it, dude?
Buzz is, see, now, this is why I got to do the reset sometimes. About an hour into the show, we got...
Buzz had a stroke.
Yeah.
Buzz has suffered a massive stroke and is paralyzed on the left side of his body.
We got a box in the mail from Portland.
Yeah.
A guy sent azimuth.
Absinthe, some kind of American absinthe.
Which Buzz has got a thing for.
It's 55% alcohol.
And it was not the real Megillah. Buzz drank about half of that bottle.
And halfway through that, somebody came in with a real bottle of the real stuff.
Who knows?
And Buzz had a little of that, too. So, to make it a long story short, Buzz has been drinking all day.
He's bombed, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah,
he is bombed, and I apologize, sir.
But don't apologize.
All right.
My man.
What?
I think that call is gone.
Thank you. That's a compliment. I'll take it as a compliment.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I've got to tell you, that is the best newscast that I have ever heard Buzz do in all the years he's been on the show.
See, now, Buzz, listen to the compliments. They're fast
I
and
hear
furious.
It's a lock, Buzz. You've got to keep drinking.
Hello, all right, whatever. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. Ooh.
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, man.
This is the funniest goddamn thing I've heard.
What do you know?
In a long time.
Thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Thank you.
Buzz is absolutely hilarious. I'm dying over here.
I love Buzz. You. I appreciate it.
The people love you. You don't need to apologize. That's what we're trying to prove to you.
I appreciate that. I really appreciate that.
Okay, Buzz?
Yeah, I do. I do.
So no more apologies.
Okay, I'll try not to. Fred Rerun
Barry. Hey, Buzz?
Yes, Don.
Maybe you should just apologize once.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Don't apologize.
Okay, I won't.
Now you're screwing with him.
Fred Rerun Barry was also in the movie Dickie Roberts, former child star. He was found dead in his home this week, just 2 weeks after suffering a stroke. How unfortunate.
God. Yes, isn't it, Buzz?
Oh, my.
Yes, it is.
That's sad.
Durable character actor Jackie Lim. Jackie Lim. You know him as... You know him if you saw him.
Is this the Cannonball Run guy?
Yeah, that's the guy. He died Monday at the age of 84 after a lifetime career as a bad guy in the cowboy movies. He was in Rawhide, The Sundowners, and Support Your Local Sheriff, to name a few. He turned up on Bonanza, and just about anything that had cowboys in it. You'd recognize him by his wandering eye. Not that I don't have one. He was blind in that eye. Yes, Don.
You don't?
No.
No, I just, Buzz, you don't have to respond, yes, Don, every time. I just, when you're not drunk, I do this all the time, and so does Mike.
Right.
Mike is just laying back a little bit right now.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm enjoying it,
Mike.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes, Mike.
I just wanted to hear you say that.
Love you, man.
You too.
But all you got to do, Buzz, is just kind of just barrel on through.
Jack Elam was blind in that one eye, that wandering eye that you always saw, after another kid stabbed him in the eye with a pencil back in his Boy Scout days.
That's funny.
Yeah, back in the old days.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
Even clean-cut Matt Blauer had some drug days. The latest Inquirer features a former friend and drug dealer who says Matt bought cocaine from him 5 or 6 times. In the 1980s.
Oh, we have a tape of Matt Lauer doing coke.
Really?
Oh, what a hoot, and so totally refreshing.
There he is. That was back when Matt was doing a PM magazine in Providence, Rhode Island, quoting the guy, like, I have room to talk.
quoting the guy, he would come to my house, we would do two or three lines of coke together, and we would hang out.
Hang out.
Matt's press agent at the Today Show says, quote, the Inquirer show, story supposedly happened 20 years ago is no different than most of what they print. Pure fiction. Note the distracting emphasis on the words 20 years ago.
The distracting what?
Emphasis.
Emphasis. Are you intoxicated?
Oh, God, yes.
Say it.
I'm intoxicated.
See, now you're getting better. Cause
the word is inebriated. Oh,
inebriated.
Are you inebriated?
Inebriated.
He's heavily, coming down. He's
heavily,
coming down.
Yeah. Heavily inebriated.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. I think he's...
I mean, I know.
Starting to wear off.
And he is. All right. Because he's drinking Mountain Dew, he's caffeinating up.
Mountain Dew.
But what she really wants to do is dance.
Who?
We're talking about Sarah Kozer, the sore loser from last year's Joe Millionaire, who was later revealed to be a foot fetish film fatale.
Mm-hmm.
She's now part of a pitiful parade of past reality TV show contestants.
Good alliteration there,
Buzz.
Las Vegas
Review.
He still can get through that, huh?
Yeah, but he still is shaky.
I love what I do, though. I'm trying. God bless me, I'm trying.
No, we love you for trying, Buzz, and you are doing a great
the
job.
Las Vegas Review, of which I speak, premieres day after tomorrow at the Chez Moi nightclub. Also features Survivor cast-off.
Rob, I swear to
Jerry
God.
Manthi.
Look at him.
Love you, Rob.
Oh, man.
I'm quoting Sarah, while I can extend my 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
ABC was planning to give us another dose of reality.
You know, what I like is he's taking a deep breath, getting a running start.
He tries.
He almost gets to that finish line.
God damn it, he tries.
I'm so trying.
ABC was confused.
They were planning to give us another dose of reality. But ABC got a taste of the stuff instead. ABC was going to do a reality.
Words are hard. You know what, man? Here's what's great about this.
What?
Anybody that's ever been there,
yeah,
they know you can't fake this.
I'm trying to do a job.
I know you are.
Yeah,
you're doing a good job.
You're doing great, Buzz.
ABC was going to do a reality TV award show, but that show has been canceled now mainly because none of the reality shows, none of them would cooperate.
Go figure, Buzz.
I don't understand. The shows, especially the ones on the other networks, were refusing to provide clips even when they had been nominated for awards. ABC says it hopes to try this again in the future, sort of like Justin Timberlake going into space, you know what I mean?
No, what do you mean?
No, you know, it's
isn't
like
that Lance Bass?
Whatever.
What do you mean by that?
I'm now morbidly drunk. Don't hold me responsible for anything.
No, I'm not busting your balls, but you said, do you know what I mean? What did you mean?
I meant they're not going into space. It's not going to happen.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm picking up my cards and dropping them on the floor.
Drop his cards.
Whatever.